Hey Rod, are you ready to go balls deep in sports?
Yo, welcome to another episode of Balls Deep Sports, the premium sports podcast of the Blackout Tips Network. I'm your host, Rod, as always, joined by my co-host, except for that one time, Jay Triznae. What's going on, Jay Trizzo?
Not too much. Just in here breaking shit.
Broke Karen's headphones.
It was an accident, though. Not on purpose.
She's not in the chat. You know, we're going to both get Ray Rice when
she
gets
hoping there. She is in the chat. That way she'll have time to process it, calm down, and relax.
Right. She probably just like, I'm getting some new headphones. So
yep. I semi-fixed them.
Okay.
I did put the piece back in. Just going to need a little duct tape.
Yeah.
Maybe a screwdriver.
Well, as people can probably hear in the background, we do have a guest live from... the back of a patrol car is, you guys might know him as, Trill, aka Trill Nathaniel, to you. But it's my man, Billy D. Trilliums, from, man, the now defunct Fill in the Lanes, one of my favorite podcasts, going to, the way of the dinosaurs, but, still putting out, content over at themedium.com/ The Cauldron. You can put like a little space in there, like the space cauldron, like the little dash. And we have a link in the show notes and everything. But what's going on, Trill? Long time no talk to.
Yo, man. It's a pleasure. You know, I always say Firestarters, the podcast I listen to most often in terms of the number of episodes they put out, because it's hard to keep up with you because you're the hardest working man in podcasting.
Hey.
So my favorite podcasting personality by far. Rod, very, very happy to be on with you. As always, man, always a special thing to get to chop it up with my man. T.D. Williams, a.k.a. Cognac Turner, a.k.a. the natural curly hair. Don't touch.
Man, oh, dog. It's, first of all, man, I heard you on Firestarter the last couple of weeks, man. You were great on there, as always, and you always got a million stories, so it's always worth hearing. I feel like I learned something more and more interesting about your life every time you do a podcast.
Talk. I'm in trouble, too, because this I'm leaving. I got a job offer. I'm jetting where I'm at right now, and I've been shacking up with a female friend. And she's very upset about me leaving. And she wanted to spend some time with me before work today. And I was like, come on, shorty, don't provoke me. You know I got a podcast to do with Rod. Get out of here.
Yeah, man, I saw you kind of made it the question for the episode at the end of Firestarter. Like, what y'all think I should do? Should I break up with her? I was like, damn, that's on the spot.
You echoing, Rod.
Hold on, 1, 2, 1, 2. Hey, y'all, I'm echoing a little bit on your side, Trill. I don't know if you got me turned up.
All right, hold up. I'm gonna try to set things up right now, man. All I'm right. Gonna go to my echo-proof chamber.
All right, cool. While he does that, guys, let's go ahead and play the theme song for the show. Okay, you guys can get in surround sound. Let's play the new version. All right, let's play the slowed down, smoothed out version. Whenever it wants to load.
See, Dad, it's not just superficial. I'm in love. You know how when I go into the ball pit at Cheesy Charlie's, I sink all the way down to the bottom, and you can't find me that deep.
I'm talking about balls deep. I'm talking about balls deep. I'm talking about balls deep in love. I'm talking about balls deep. I'm talking about balls deep. I'm talking about balls deep in love. I wanna have sex with a personality, make love for positive traits, give a pound into a feeling, make yourself mouth salivate. Hey Tyra, are you listening? We're not talking, just a tipping. Thank you, Scottie Pippen. Players back in my day didn't make as much as they use today.
Sorry to hear that.
Balls deep. We're talking about balls deep. We're talking about balls deep in love. Thank you, Scottie Pippen.
You know,
all right.
That version right there, you could actually play it in the car with your lady on the first, maybe second date.
Put your hand on her leg, see if she's about going balls deep.
Yep. Insert her name instead of Tyra.
Mm-hmm. I'm selling you guys.
That was like the slow version of Aaron Hall's Don't Be Afraid. I was blown away.
Yeah, I actually heard the slow version of a Whitney Houston song by that gay dude, Sam Smith or something, the new hotness. It was trash. I think people just not saying nothing because he gay and you can't say nothing. But yeah, I tried to listen to it.
I think you just did.
That shit was real trash, dog. I was like, why are people sizing this shit like it's okay? It's just like, it was How Do I Know, by the way. Like, so it wasn't you have to be able to sing Whitney Houston's How Do I Know. Let me play this shit, man. Dog, I heard that shit. I was like, why are we acting like it's good? It's got 4.5 million hits.
4.5 million?
4.5 million hits on YouTube.
This shit is trash already.
Whitney did not do cocaine and die for this right here. This is not what she died for.
Take me to the clouds above. Oh, I lose control. Can't seem to get enough. And I wake from a dream. Tell me, is it really long?
I think you proved your point.
Gotta hit the chorus.
How will I know if you really love me? I say a prayer with every heartbeat.
This sounds like what the song would have sounded like if Tracy Chapman did it.
Yeah, you don't take someone who can actually sing and remake their song. You take somebody's song who can't sing but had a hot song,
right?
And then you remake it,
and they be like, "God damn, that nigga can sing." This is just like, why are you fucking with Whitney's grave, man?
Yeah, you don't take Whitney songs. You don't take Mary J. Blige songs.
The comments say, "Flawless Whitney would be so proud."
No.
Dog, I would. That makes me want to run the other way. That shit is so overdramatic.
Not even High Whitney. Bobby Christina doesn't. None of them would like this song, right? Bobby Christina could do better.
I like this dude's comments. First rock, then rap, now soul music. White people need to stick to country music. God damn.
Somewhat accurate.
Oh,
Somewhat accurate.
Yeah, he sparked off he sparked off a racial debate up in that YouTube comment section. But, yeah, dog. So, it's Balls D Sports, man. We got a lot of stuff to cover today. We got a bunch of emails. So I guess we'll do those off top because we got to ask some questions and they'll probably cover some of the topics we were going to get to anyway.
Let's just chill, smoke, drink, and eat some vegetables.
My homie Leonard Brothers writes in. Balls D Sports, Paul George. Wonder what this one's about. What up, fellas? In light of the Paul George injury, I wanted to ask what some of the worst sports injuries you saw happen live. I have a few in mind. I wonder if you'll mention them. Also, with Paul George out most of, if not the entire season, yeah, it is the entire season, and possibly more, what do you think the Pacers will do this year? Will they make the playoffs? Trades? Do you think he will or should try to come back and play late in the season, e.g. after the All-Star break or in the playoff run? Leonard Holler.
How are you going to submit the same exact questions with the same exact words to your podcast and Firestarter?
I know. I feel like he added that part about what's going to happen to them during the season because it's in a different font. But I feel like that other part I've heard before.
Oh shit.
All right, man, let's go around, dog, because I don't know if y'all have seen, like, I don't know if he's, when he says injuries you've seen live, I don't know if he means watching TV or in person, But I'll accept either. Justin, man, what's the worst injuries like you've seen live?
Shit, it's similar to this Paul George one, that college kid.
Where?
When his leg, his bone just popped out. Yeah. I mean, watching football, you see guys get hit all the time and laid out. So it's kind of common. The reason I say that, because that's kind of uncommon to me.
Who was that wide receiver that played for, like,
Tyrone Pothrow or whatever?
Yeah, nigga, that shit, nigga. What?
That one is up there.
Woo, his fucking leg was turned the wrong way, bro. I said, hold up. Like, it was one of them ones.
That was a college game, right?
Yeah, it was like a NBA. It was like when Vince Carter dunked and put his arm through the rim.
Yeah. Where,
like, I saw the play, but I didn't really conceptualize what happened for like 4 seconds. And then it was like, oh, nigga, no, turn this off.
Yeah. See, because I guess football, I'm so used to them cats just getting hit and injured so often, their injuries don't really.
Nah, nigga, his foot was turned the wrong way, and they wear them short ass pants in college, so you can like see the leg.
But this dude bone was out in college.
Man, do I need to go look up the YouTube video? Do I need to look up the YouTube video?
That between that and the NBA player that landed on his neck, I think he was playing for Milwaukee Bucks at the time.
T.J. Ford?
Yeah, yes. That was bad.
That was a bad one.
Those two right there.
I thought that nigga died, yo.
Right.
When I saw that clip, I said, oh, he's dead.
Those two injuries right there for me was like, should I continue to play basketball anymore? Like, it question marked if I wanted to play anymore.
Trill, what about you, man?
Definitely the wear injury, the wide receiver you're talking about was really one of the worst ones I've ever seen in his career. He was a pro prospect. His career ended.
Yep.
so that almost made it worse in retrospect. The Napoleon, was it Napoleon McCollum? Is that who it was who had his knee dislocated like that on for the Rams for football?
Oh, I don't know if I've seen that one.
I remember that one being pretty ugly. And, man, do you remember the goalie whose jugular vein got sliced by the skate and he just started bleeding out on ice?
Oh, shit. Are you making that up?
No. It's like I don't know what his last name was. I remember his first name was Clint. And it might have been during a playoff game.
Fuck
but
that.
But skate came up and slashed his neck. And he grabbed at his neck. And it just, the blood was gushing out. They rushed to him. They got him off the ice just in time and they saved his life.
Shit. But
his jugular got sliced. That's one of the scariest injuries.
What came up was Clint, M-A-L-A-R-C-H-U-K?
Oh, yep. I still don't know how to pronounce it then.
Yeah. 2006.
Also, my dude Sean Livingston, when he fucked his leg up.
Oh.
Damn. And it was the reason that one was real bad was because it was a routine, like, layup. Like, it wasn't no, like, oh, he took a whole lot of contact or nigga just landed on a layup and was like, oh, I'm done.
Yeah, didn't Odin have one like that where he just went up for a rebound and his knee went to the side too?
Yeah, it's hard to count all of his though. that could be any one of the times his knees exploded.
Oh man, yeah, I'm sure football has like 10 of them I can't even think of because I'm just numb to that shit.
I watched Gerald Wallace get a concussion live, which, you know, if you watch him play, you have like a 1 in 10 chance of seeing that anyway. And I had seen probably about 10 games of his, so I was overdue. But yeah, that nigga like went to the hole reckless as fuck, man. Like any nigga with dreads that plays ball and, lost his balance to get a layup and slammed into the damn, like the floor. Everybody could hear it and everybody just went quiet. And they called out the paramedics, dog. Like, and then just playing ball, like, I've seen a few, man. I saw a dude dislocate his knee on the jump shot. Like, he just went up for a jumper, came down, and his knee was on the left side of his leg. Yep.
I just watched that Sean Livingston knee.
Yeah.
That looks pretty bad, but no bone popped out.
I'm not trying to have a competition. I was just saying one bad one I saw. I wasn't actually
invisible bone.
Yeah.
but that does look pretty bad, that Sean Livingston.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, I just happened to be watching that game live and like was like, nah. What?
Because Rondo elbow was pretty bad.
Oh, that was ugly.
The Dwayne Wade leg sweep.
Yeah.
like it all happened so fast on one motion, and that was
Pretty bad. Yeah,
I just remembered another one, and I remember one that I watched during, when I was at Carolina. There was a guy who used to play pickup in Woolen, and he was he could jump real high. His name was Rob. He dunked on someone and came down on the dude's head, and his nuts went up into his stomach.
Oh, man.
Yeah, have you ever seen that before?
No, man. Yeah, fuck, really, I didn't know that was possible.
Yeah, it actually is somewhat common. Like, that's what I found out when it happened. Because some dude was like, oh, that happened to such and such before. We got to get him. We got to get a paramedic. They sometimes have to do some kind of surgery to pull him out of you.
Shit.
Mm. He was doubled over in so much pain, man.
Oh, fuck, nah. I imagine.
Yeah, but, fuck that shit, dog.
But do you remember the really Allen Ray injury where his way. Eye popped out?
Well, who?
The Villanova guard, when somebody poked in the eye, and his eye popped, the whole eyeball popped out the socket briefly?
No way.
That's one of the worst injuries I've ever seen. Yeah, you don't remember Allen Ray? There were slow motion photos of it, and the eye looks like somebody, he really has Steve Harvey eyes.
Why is Allen Ray named Ray Allen? Like, why?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. Allen Ray's eye popped out the socket. Fuck that, nigga. Fuck that man. I quit life.
He won, man.
Nigga, I would quit life. Like, fuck a sport, nigga.
He won with injury. He won with injury right here. I gotta watch it, but. The fact that his eye came out, he won with the injury.
Yo, I just thought of one too. The wide receiver for the Bears that got hit, his back folded up like a fucking accordion.
Oh, yeah. Who was that?
That shit ended his
back and play.
Nah, that shit ended his career, dog.
Oh, his career. Okay.
He swore he would though. He was like, "I'm gonna get over this and I'm gonna get back on the field." I was like, "Nigga, no, you not." Damn, man, his back got fucked up, man. Somebody probably know it in the chat, man. But yeah, I saw that shit. I said, hell no, dude.
Oh, damn, I just look at dude eye for come out.
Yeah, yep, dog. Nope. Nope. You can never show me that video if you wanted me to play again. If it happened to me and it was like, this is what happened, I'd be like, don't show it to me because I'll quit basketball. And another dude I saw in real life got his shoulder separated. We were playing in the hood in Fayetteville, Seabrook Park. And, these niggas that had just got out of jail and they had all got out together came down to the court to play ball. And, it was like five of them. They was like, we got ours, you know, we got necks, trying to take niggas' necks and everything. And, niggas was so scared, they let them play. And my team was winning. So, like, they came up against our team and, them niggas fouled us on every play. And I don't mean like every time we tried to score. I mean every play. Like if I pass you the ball, they foul me on the pass and they foul you when you catch it. And like if you dribble, you get fouled. You try to set a pick, you get fouled. Like they was just fucking us up, man. So, I started point shaving like shit, like, you know, trying to lose and get the fuck out the court. But, this one dude on our team named Travis decided he was going to take it personal. He was like, "Nah, fuck that." Like, he started yelling at us and shit. "Y'all niggas scared? Y'all, come on, man. We ain't scared of these motherfuckers. It's our court." Like, nigga, I'm not even from here. So he tried to dunk on them dudes and they undercut him so hard. His shoulder hit the concrete and just popped out of socket, man.
Jesus Christ.
I was like, I gotta go, man. Like, just, y'all got this one, bruh. And I left like a coward too. I was like, "Oh shit, let me just go get something out the car real quick. I'll be right." Man, I got in the car and left the fuck out of there, dog. And that nigga came back like, cause I just waited till they left. I came back like 3 hours later. And hold on, he's making something in the kitchen. And when I came back, man, Travis pulled up. Like everybody was gone by the way, but when I came back. And Travis pulled up in his van and got out with a gun. It was like his arm was in a sling. Like he was like, "Where are they at? Where they at?" I was like, "Dog, I don't know, man. I think
what?
They left." Yep, all over some damn pride on the basketball court, bro.
Yeah. During my brief time at Carolina, there was the intramural shit was huge, and there would be three really good teams. One of the teams would be like a frat that had like a scouting report and shit. Like a bunch of 5'8 white dudes who quite literally scouted everyone and knew your tendencies. It was crazy. And then there was, the football team And then there was the dude
I want to play the football team.
Who played like JV ball. Yeah. And were like the gym rats who could have played D1 elsewhere.
Yeah.
And so there would be crowds and shit. And we were playing the football team. And I dunked on this dude named Russell. And I wish I could remember Russell's last name, but he was a D lineman. And I actually hung out with him sometimes outside of playing against him. I dunked on him and I hit the Karl Malone just to be an asshole. And the next time I went up for a layup, I never got clotheslined like that in my fucking life, dog. And there was no pride. As soon as I got up, I shook it off. They called a foul. I didn't even look at him. I was like, you know what? Let me leave here with my life, dog. Right.
Yeah, dog. Football team during intramurals is the most dangerous. I don't know how that's legal to let those ruffians play with the rest of the paying students. Cause like at Fayetteville State, like we didn't even have that great of a football program or anything like that, but they would let them niggas play intramurals, and it would always end up with them just fucking like regular students up, man. They would just beat the shit out of us until we quit.
Yep, that's all they want to do is be physical.
At one point, dog, they had the fucking refs so scared they refused to make a call for us. Like, the audience was booing and shit, but the refs were scared of the fucking players more than we were.
Did the Avon box down on you?
Dog, yeah, dog, they pulled the fucking above the rim on us, dog. Like, we needed Shep to show up in them khakis and them loafers and drop 50 because we got our ass whooped.
Now, Carolina, were you playing at the gym where it's like a million different courts in that one gym,
yeah,
but it's hot?
The 12 courts on it,
yes,
and shit?
Mm-hmm. But it's hot in there?
Uh-huh.
Man, that's a nice court. Like, the floor is nice in there, right? I don't know if you've ever been in there.
Nah,
but
only
man,
been to the arena.
It's so fucking hot in that gym. It doesn't make any sense at all, like, to have this nice-ass floor, but they don't have no air. But as soon as you leave the gym, it's air conditioning. Man, like, when you step outside to, the bathrooms and the other areas, it's air.
Man, I saw, like, no joke, regardless of all the great ball I played coming up in New York, back when New York basketball still actually had some, you know, well-known good players during summer leagues and Golden Hoops, I would say four of my top basketball moments that I was on a court for probably happened in that gym. Like, I saw Oscar Davenport, the quarterback, catch a oop on Stackhouse, and the entire gym shut down. Mm. And the football team grabbed him and put him on their shoulders and carried him around the entire gym. While Jerry Stackhouse just stood on the court staring. And he came down. As soon as they resumed play, that dude scored 8 straight points. 4 of them were dunks. The others were deep threes, and it didn't matter. They were like, yeah, we know you better, but you the player of the year, and you got dunked on, nigga. Yeah. So we don't care.
Right.
Like, it's over. That joint, Renzino Smith? Is that the guy who used to play at Carolina?
Is that the dude that you might have told me about this story?
Yeah, that's
before.
The dude who dropped 16 straight points on me in leopard print.
Yes, that's the story.
Flat top, and he was. I didn't know Carolina basketball that deep. I didn't know the 80s. I didn't know he was a CBA player who could have played NBA, but he was only like 5'10", so he was undersized. I never got humiliated like that on a court before. Leopard I saw print. Courtney Alexander come in that gym, and no one knew who he was except like 3 of us. And he was just fucking around doing like high crossovers. And a scrappy white dude ripped him, laid it up, and then talked shit to him. Mm-hmm. And the rest of that game, fam, Courtney Alexander was just like, you stupid motherfucker, come go on me again. Bah, 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 bah. You didn't even know what direction he was going. I was like, yo, man, why'd you have to do this? That hard-working white dude who really thinks he's getting one over on somebody. Like, you dumb up. This motherfucker was just J-ing him, dunking on him, triple-crossing him. I saw a lot of good sports moments in that gym, man.
Hey,
a
man,
lot of good ones.
Did you hurt your back there, or was your, like, back? Like, because I know you had some injury issues, too.
Yeah, I hurt my back, actually, in practice. There was a guy who had a scholarship to go to Wake or Clemson. I can't remember. But he really wanted to go to Carolina. Because, you know, that Carolina shit is religion for a lot of people who grow up there. They want to go to Carolina, man. And so he turned that down. And we were practicing together. And he undercut me on a dunk accidentally. He was a friend of mine. It wasn't malicious. Right. He clipped my leg a little bit. And both of the discs dropped down on my nerves. And that was it for my basketball career right there, B.
Shit. That sucks,
I went from that 35-inch vertical to that 27-inch vertical in months.
we call that the Antonio McDice.
Oh, that's another really devastating basketball injury. I thought of that after Paul George.
Yeah.
That's a dude we lost for real. He was a beast.
What, man? When he came back, it was so different. Like, I remember, like, cause that was the thing for a while when he came back. And same thing with, LJ, when LJ hurt his back. Like,
mm-hmm.
It was still this idea. Like, I was a kid, so I was too young to really understand. I was just like, oh, he got surgery and now he's back. And then you'll see that nigga, like, go to the hole and, like, pump fake for the first time ever. Like, what the fuck was that? LJ just dunk on him. Nope.
It made Charles Barkley unwatchable too. That's when he went into that back him down for 20 seconds of the shot clock shit.
Hell, oh nigga, you know he was my favorite player growing up.
Same here.
Oh, okay. Dog, you know the worst part of like when it really got to be the struggle when he went to Houston and he started pointing out for the refs the 3 second rule. I was like, damn, dog, he looking for every advantage he could get. Damn, that was my dog, though.
Yeah, that was one of the most physically dominating players in the history of the game. So to watch him do the slow back down fadeaway or the pump fake after the 20-second back, like, come on, man.
It only hurts because I used to be in denial like a motherfucker. I used to be going outside talking to my friends. Charles Barkley is still, he better than Jordan. Y'all need to get off Jordan dick. Nope, I was wrong as shit.
Yeah, man.
So without Paul George, man, the second part of this question, what do y'all expect the Pacers to do this year? I mean, I know they won't do it, but I think they should tank and hope they can, like, pull off, you know, with a draft pick or something, make something out of this, because I don't think they can possibly make a trade of any value because Hibbert's value is so low right now. I don't think it's ever been lower. David West, I think people like the idea of David West, but I don't think a GM will actually give you much for David West. And that's pretty much all the tradable assets. They fucked up and didn't give Lance the money that, I believe he deserved. So I feel like, they'll probably end up making the playoffs and be a middling team and go out in the first round. But if they were smart, I think they would tank it.
Yeah. They could make the A spot just from being in the East, man. That's the thing about it, even without George. I think George was the one guy who you'd be like, all right, he will get you those, help you get those extra games to put you in the top four. So they could make the East. Like you said, they're not smart enough to tank.
Mm-hmm.
But they're a terrible team where they should be in the bottom of the league this year. And with Paul George, they still would have been, like I said, maybe 5-4, but without them, they shouldn't be in the playoffs at all. But they'll make eight just because.
Right,
they you, Indiana.
What you think, Trill?
Oh, they're a lotto team, man. Mm-hmm. They're a lotto team. They just lost two of their primary creators. Who do they have? Rodney Stuckey? Is George Hill still there?
Yeah, they still got Hill.
George Hill's still there.
They still got Turner.
They got undersized guards on the perimeter in a league, in a conference that as bad as it is, it's getting younger and longer and bigger on the perimeter. And that's why Paul George was so awesome for them on both sides of the ball because of his length and his speed. But that's going to be hard for them. And Hibbert is a fucking tomato can. So I don't know, dog. Yeah. It's like Stucky to Hibbert, man, with Scolin and West. That sounds like a good-ass team, dog, that's going to win 25 games.
Yeah, and I expect the Hornets to sweep them because I think Lance going to have a chip on his shoulder. And the Hornets will be better than them now.
Yeah, I can't wait for him to dunk on Roy, cause he's gonna try it.
Yeah, I'm anticipating a year of like just unheard of coonery from my man Lance Stevenson. Like,
shouts out to Lance,
because we clearly giving him the reins of any perimeter scoring that he wants to do, and I can see him doing all that like extra crossover shit that he be doing and all that extra shit he like to do, man.
Yeah, there's a couple kind of people I don't trust. One is a rockhead, and he's that.
Mm-hmm.
And two is a nigga from Coney Island, and he's that too. So Coney Island has a very rich history of pumping out eccentric rockhead niggas into the NBA or into life, period.
So, yeah, I don't expect.
So who else out of Coney Island made it to the NBA?
Starbury.
Starbury, dog.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Starbury,
that's enough said. You don't even gotta explain.
That nigga used to be doing that praying hand shit, that little move he used to do during the interviews.
To God?
Yeah, dog.
Yeah, his cousin dissed him. A lot of people don't remember when Jamel Thomas was at Providence on those teams with Sham God. Him and Marbury had a falling out, and Jamel Thomas made a diss song drinking champagne in a pink sweater while he was playing in a EuroLeague. I was like, you know what? All of these dudes are off. Or Sebastian Telfair trying to bring the gun on the plane. I mean, these Coney Island dudes, man.
Yeah, dog.
There's something wrong with them. Can the cops stay the fuck away from me while I'm doing podcast? What's going on?
But it's the OJ scene right now.
Yeah.
you in a Bronco?
This Al, goddammit.
you in a Bronco right now?
We got another email from HM Sanderson. He says, K-Love Factor from Herbie Hancock. Rod and Justin, since K-Love is going to the Cavaliers, maybe for sure. It sounds like it's pretty much confirmed.
Yep.
I believe anything Wojo report. Do you think that if Rojo reported like I got traded, I'd be like, damn, I did. I guess I better get my plane ticket. Do you think they are championship bound this year? I know you guys weren't pro trade, so I'm drinking LeBron James Kool-Aid by thinking that they could pull it off. Any pieces out there to put them over the top? Keeping it short, getting back to work so I can afford premium. P.S. Keep up the good work and bring back Real House Husbands. Herbie Hancock, first 30 TBGWT Premium Platinum Club. He just made up a whole new status. I was not aware of.
This is own culture, man.
Yeah. I mean, whatever keeps me paying, man. If you want that, you got the Premium Platinum Club, brother. As far as can they win a championship this year, I think it's a stretch to think they will win a championship because it all depends on who makes it to the finals. And I think if it's the Spurs, they're going to get their ass handed to them.
Again.
Because the thing I don't like about this lineup, everybody should know if you've been listening to the show, but the defense is not going to be there.
They don't have anyone that can play D.
Yeah, Kevin Love is not a defensive player at all. And you can't just make that shit up with rebounding. Like, the assumption of just, oh, we'll get every rebound while these niggas are wide open in the NBA busting J's, like, it's going to hurt you eventually. And then the other thing is Kevin Love's numbers will go down a little bit playing with LeBron James, not because he'll be a worse player, but because he'll have less opportunities and be relied upon less, which it'll be good for him. Honestly, he's proven that if you put everything through him, it's going to be a losing team. So I think that and then they need time to gel. When they actually had, you know, three legitimate, you know, all-stars and potential Hall of Fame players with Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and LeBron James, it still took them one year at least to jail.
Man, it took them a whole half of a season to actually start winning games where you was like, won four in a row.
Yeah, they couldn't win close games for a while. So all this shit is going to take a little bit of time. So I'm going to say I don't expect them to win a championship, and I think everybody needs to chill out on that because then they're going to use it against LeBron at the end of the season. And I want to be able to say, like, I never thought that shit. So, you know, I need to keep my sanity, so I'm keeping my expectations to, like, they should make the Eastern Conference Finals, potentially make the finals. If they make the finals, I'll be a little bit surprised, but they should. I think that's about the right area. What do you think, Justin?
I think they'll make the finals if they don't get beat by the Hornets. Because I feel like with the team the Hornets got right now, we can make the finals in the East as well. And I think the Hornets might could beat them because they can't play in the defense. Varejao's defense is overrated. He's a lot older now. He's moving slower. And those annoy you tactics, they don't work anymore. Like, they used to work, you know, but when it was just him. But, you know, they got him, Joakim Noah. People have gotten used to that now. Like, those tactics don't work anymore. And they're not built to beat the Spurs, which is who they should be preparing for. I don't even know that their defense is so terrible that even Houston could beat them. Because they're another offensive team that actually their offense is better, in my opinion.
Mm. Well, what about you, Jay Trill?
Yeah, I disagree. I think their offense, I think once you see them clicking on all cylinders, their offense is frightening. The potential there is crazy. I think Love's numbers will go down, but he'll be super efficient. Mm-hmm. I think Kyrie Irving is about to blow people's minds because he doesn't have to be the primary playmaker anymore. And he can go one-on-one without people closing the lane on him. Mm-hmm. That's going to be really scary, man. And Bron's going to be Bron. But my worry is they're going to go to the finals, period.
Okay.
If they don't, then they choked. Especially this coach, too, with his offensive leanings. They don't get to the finals with this team, then they failed. Okay. But winning the finals, I'll agree with y'all that that's a different story. The defense will matter more. They don't have a rim protector. I think Love will be better on defense. Bosch and the Raptors rated really low on defenses final four seasons there. Mm-hmm. And he made one of the hugest jumps statistically as an individual defender when he got other good players on his team. So I think the thing with Love that you're going to see is he won't be cleaning the glass as often. Because he won't be as relied on to do it, so he'll be in better position as a defender, and he can take more risks. Because in Minnesota, the Timberwolves were plus 6 points with him on the floor overall at all times. When he was off the floor, they were like they were so low in points that they ranked at the bottom of the NBA. Mm-hmm. So he couldn't gamble and risk getting a fifth or sixth foul ever. You know, because if he's out the game, they're definitely losing. But with the Cavs, like, he can sit on the bench for a little while in the fourth or third quarter, and they can still score without him.
Like,
I think he'll take more risks.
You say that, but who comes in? Like, they getting rid of their bench.
Well, these people are serviceable. Tristan Thompson can be serviceable, and they really don't need Kevin Love scoring at all times. They got people who can score. The only thing I'm worried about is they can't protect the rim.
Yeah, because I was going to say, Bosch, one of the reasons Bosch's defensive, you know, dependability went up is because he can be a good off the ball shot blocker as well. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in addition to just having a lateral movement to stay in front of most power forwards in the NBA, and even if he's checking the center, like, he's going to stay in front of them. I don't know if Kevin Love's lateral movement is that good, and I definitely know he's not getting a lot of blocks.
No, he can't. He protected the rim as poorly as a wing last year. He was one of the worst big men in the league overall. So I think it'll improve, but not drastically. And I think they really needed to get someone. I knew they couldn't get Jang in that trade, but he's a beast. You know, they need a young rim protector, and Haywood ain't gonna be that. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what ends up doing them in. But I think that offense is going to be too scary to stop for anybody in the East when it starts clicking, man. That's a frightening amount of offensive talent, man.
And I heard a little
chuckle.
We
thought that with the Heat, though, man.
Say what?
I mean, we thought that with the Heat, like the offense would.
I mean, well, in all fairness, the Heat did go to the finals 4 times in a row. So it's not like Trill is only saying going to the finals and losing in the finals. And then you said he's a conference finals or the finals too, right?
Yeah.
So we're only talking a round difference, if that. And I did notice he chuckled a little bit when you brought up the Hornets. Now, is that just because Michael Jordan and it's just like laughable? Or
No. I like the Hornets a lot, actually. I like that low key they got a core. But I don't trust any team with Lance Stephenson on it.
Okay.
Just the same way any team with DeMarcus Cousins on it. Those are phenomenal talents. But Rockheads are going to do what Rockheads are going to do, man.
Yeah, that's legit, man. I mean.
Artest, they could have won a championship that one year that Ron Artest ran into the stands. You just can't trust Rockheads, dog.
Yeah. I mean, that is a legit concern of mine as a Hornets fan is, like, I feel like $9 million a year is the perfect price to pay for Lance, especially with a two-year contract with the third year being a team option. Like, that's the right kind of commitment to have to a Rockhead.
Yeah.
Like, if shit don't work out, man, then costs us a lot and you can go.
Man, I love the Hornets roster, man. I'm looking at it now. The core would be Kemba Walker. Mm-hmm. You know, you got Gerald. You got Al Jefferson.
Well, Lance going to take Gerald's spot. Al Jefferson, yeah. MKG, you'll probably still get to start.
Well, by core, I mean guys that's been there. Yeah. Like, they know the system. They're going to keep other guys going in the right direction. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to allow, like, they're going to talk to Lance. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to be like, Lance, nah, sit him down. I can put Gerald in, and it's serviceable. He can get me 3 minutes to where I can talk to Lance and get his head back right and get him back in the game. Mm-hmm. But you got Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. You still got PJ coming. You still got Marvin Williams back on the team. You know, he's a Carolina guy. You got Cody Zeller still. I like this team, man.
Yeah, I like the team too. Yeah. I mean, I think we got some steals in the offseason. And, I like the team too. So, I mean, but it's just, I could easily see them losing to the Cavs or losing to the Wizards or something like that. But I just think they have potential now that they didn't have before.
Can I say one more thing? And yeah. This might be controversial. I think the Cavs offense is going to be far better than the Heat offense was this year. Far better. Kyrie Irving is a far better one-on-one player than Dwayne Wade was last year.
It's quite possible. I would not be surprised because on the low, the Heat offense fell off a lot last year. So, like, to me, that statement is not even controversial. People were looking at the names on the back of the jerseys. But I think if you looked at pace, they were in, like, the bottom third of the NBA with pace. Like, so they weren't putting up a ton of points anymore. Like, when they first got there, they really didn't have any half-court offense. And they were pretty much either blowing your ass out or they were losing. Like, because they were just trapping hard as shit on the wings, mm-hmm. getting a lot of turnovers. Next thing you know, you look up in the third quarter, you're down 20 and you're giving up. In this last year, man, they had a whole lot of games where it was just someone had to make a play in the fourth quarter and they were able to do it in half court because they played together long enough, but they also weren't able to do it with the up-tempo teams anymore. And that's, I mean, shit, the Spurs, man, they just put the blueprint out
they,
there. Like,
they ran the fuck out of them, man.
Yeah, dog, like, them games, like, affected the way that team will be viewed, from here on out, you know what I mean? And that's saying a lot, man, because I think, you know, that team was amazing. And I don't know if we'll ever see, like, teams combine, like, players take a pay cut and combine like that again. And even with all that shit, that last series made me be like, oh, them niggas wasn't even that good. So
it really did, man. That's what I'm saying. Like, they, before this trade, before they finalize it, the team as is can make the Eastern Finals. Without Kevin Love.
Yeah, that's the other part that's weird is if you don't make the trade, I still expect them to go to the East Conference Finals. Yes. You know what I, like, I wouldn't be blown away if you told me Andrew Wiggins and co made it to the finals and lost to whoever. Like, I would actually expect that lineup to be more competitive against the Spurs because they would actually have wing defenders. As opposed to, like, I still think if you take Kyrie and Kevin Love and play the Spurs, you should get blown out every game.
But the other thing is, like, you put that team without Kevin Love up against the Spurs, like, it's a better team, I think.
I think it's a better matchup. I still think they lose.
Them, but it's a better matchup against OKC. It's a better matchup against Dallas, who now have Chandler Parsons, along with the team that took Spurs to 7 games.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, I feel like it's a better matchup against any of those teams against the West. But with Kevin Love, that addition by subtraction, you subtract it so much. You know
what else it is?
You don't have bench players now.
We might also be thinking real old school because I'm like, I think defense wins championships. And I feel like not having good defense is always going to end up somehow losing you the fucking championship, right?
Well, you answered your question because in your original statement, you said the Heat didn't really play that much better defense anymore. It's just that they had guys that could hit shots now, and somehow in the fourth, they would pull it out, whereas the other championships, like you said, they was trapping. They was playing superb D. They was getting so many steals, it made a difference in the game. Mm-hmm. It caused other teams to shut down, and so you're saying, in essence, the Spurs play great defense.
I don't even think that's up for debate. I just think that, the Cavs with Kevin Love are stuck in the same, like, the defense is going to kill them against just the elite teams. I think on a every on a nightly basis, they're gonna be blowing the fuck up out of teams.
Yeah,
and it's gonna be highlights, and it's gonna be fuck, and like people are gonna be sizing the shit out of it, and then they're gonna try to make it seem like it was crazy that they lost the championship or whatever because they were so good. It's gonna be like whenever the Suns used to lose in the playoffs, and people would be like,
I was just gonna say that they're gonna. I think they're gonna be a better version. It won't be the same. Because Nash is just a virtuoso, you know, playmaker, right. But it'll be similar to those Suns teams, the way they're going to be hanging 120 on people every once in a while and blowing people out and then lose, but they won't lose in the second round like the Suns.
Yeah.
They will get to the finals with that team. Nobody has, like, and it sounds like a joke because, you know, it's easy to make fun of Deion Waiters. The Heat did not have a Deion Waiters last year. They had their big three, but like, man, this team has their big three, and they have Deion Waiters, who's a capable scorer, playmaker, who can score in transition as a fourth option. Tristan Thompson can score out the post and on his little jumpers, too.
Will they even be there, though? But will they be there once this trade is done?
Well, that's also if you're asking. I mean, according to the details of the trade, they should be there. Waiters and Thompson should be there. According to, and that's Wojo saying that, so I believe him.
Now, Kyrie and Waiters don't get along, though.
Well, here's the thing. I was just going to say what Trill said. Waiters is a fourth option. Does Deion Waiters know that he is the fourth option? So I feel like Deion Waiters thinks he is second at the least.
Yeah, but you, he got to think that under that Mr. Potato Head-ass coach. and Kyrie, who, as talented as he is, he has flaws that are obvious, and he's too young to really have a commanding voice. Mm-hmm. But I want to see Waiters pull that shit around LeBron James, Kevin Love, and this new hardcore coach they got.
Now, you threw
teams. That shit's not going to fly, dog.
But you put Kevin Love in that statement like he has a voice. What playoff game he ever been
Jeff
to?
Kevin Love has more of a voice, what? I think, than Kyrie Irving in that he's had more success in terms of his All-NBA selections. Winning an Olympic gold. He hasn't accomplished shit, and he's got a lot to show me, dog. I'm a Kevin Love fan, but I'm not delusional about this dude.
Yeah.
But I think he can look at, Deion Waiters, though. And if not in terms of his stature, certainly in terms of his size, and be like, little nigga, you better get the fuck out of here.
Right. Yeah. You say that, but.
On that bench, nigga.
But we're talking about Deion, though. that's like telling Randy Moss. I mean, not Randy Moss. That's like telling Terrell Owens Jerry Rice was on the team for San Fran.
No. That's way too much talent. That's like telling Fred Mitchell that he, that he wasn't open. And Fred Mitchell going to be like, with my hands.
Hey, yeah, but Fred Mitchell was playing with Donovan McNabb, dog. That's like throw him on Bill Belichick's team with Tom Brady.
Right.
It'll be like when Chad Johnson went there, he'll be studying that playbook in week 11 hoping to get a fucking pass thrown his
way. Yeah, I'm on your side of this because I do think LeBron is such a leader that he's going to form like the cool kids club, and it'll be him, Kevin Love, and Kyrie, and they're going to be cussing out Deion. I mean, they're going to be cussing out what's my last name?
Deion
Waiters.
Waiters, yeah. They're going to be cussing out Waiters the same way that they used to cuss out Chalmers in Miami.
But you saw how that turned out, though.
It turned out to 2 championships in 4 years.
No, but that was despite Chalmers.
They got some good. Nah, come on, man, you can't take that away.
Big finals games.
Yeah, Chalmers put up 25 against the Spurs the year before, dog. Like, he fell off this last year.
But he always still felt like I'm the number 2 option. And that's what I'm saying about Deion Waiters is he's going to, like you said.
No, I disagree. Chalmers never thought he was the number 2 option on that team.
What?
Well, no. He said things. No, but he did things in the game.
When he got his ass cussed out, he was not thinking, I'm going to shoot this shot before I pass the ball to open Dwayne Wade or Chris Bosh.
Nah, he did. I'm telling you, he did. The way that time when LeBron bucked to him and he was like, what you going to do? Like Chalmers was like, we can fight and scrap now. Like y'all don't affect me like that. Like,
but I'm talking about Deion will do shit like, you know what it is? All right. You haven't watched any Cavs games. That's all this is. If you watch Cavs games, you'll see it's
Wait,
different.
Nobody's watched the Cavs games.
No, but I've, you know, league pass, man.
Don't say you watched the games.
I can't front. I did watch a lot of Cavs.
Yeah. Cause I just watch sometimes just to be like, oh, let me see how, like, how Deion Waiters is fitting in with Kyrie.
I thought they were banned from TV.
Or even better, I liked watching them when Deion was the only one and Kyrie was hurt. Cause like, this nigga will shoot every time, dog. He don't care. It's not like Mario at all. Like,
he's gonna listen. LeBron has the juice, like, period right now.
Yeah.
They will do whatever LeBron says. If he doesn't want to fall in line, he will get that dude traded for a pack of Scooby Snacks. Like, he'll learn the hard way. You wanna up your stock and play with a team that's gonna get national coverage and show your skills, so maybe you could be a number one on another team if they're dumb enough to sign you, dog. You better get in line.
Mm-hmm.
We will cast your ass off to Indiana, dog.
And there is this, they can use the help. And there is the other thing out there. What if they get Ray Allen? Like, does that make any difference to y'all or no?
It would have prior to last year in the finals, looking at Ray Allen in the finals.
Okay, so now you like, that's not a big deal. Okay.
Yeah, that's like signing Mike Miller. In theory, it sounded good. He looked good for Memphis. But not with LeBron and the Cavaliers. This is a different style of play playing with LeBron than it is with Memphis. And I don't think those guys are at the – I don't think they can handle that style of play anymore. I think in Memphis, they can handle that style of play.
Yeah, I don't like it either, because they get – I don't believe in one-dimensional three-point shooters at this point, like, unless you're Kyle Korver, who's like, if you look at the breakdown of his numbers, he changes the game more than I even thought. Someone did a breakdown of exactly how the game changes when he comes in and how defenses have to counteract his shooting, because it's so fucking accurate. It's crazy. Unless you're like Kyle Korver, I really don't believe – I want someone on the perimeter who's old, can't guard, can't rebound, and can't create, but can shoot an open three. Like, I would want to get younger and have another skill along. It's like how Shane Battier's value was that he could hit open threes, but he could also defend. Once that went away, he was pretty worthless. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Ray Allen, I mean, you can find anybody to get a wide open three with Kyrie and LeBron driving and dishing.
Spurs did it all the time.
Well, who's going to tell LeBron this? Because he's the one that wants these niggas on the team.
Yeah, he's his own worst enemy. I really think that. And I actually agree with y'all. I was against the trade. I would have said roll the dice, see how it looks, keep your flexibility.
Right.
And then you can just add love without losing Wiggins if it turns out he is on some Scottie Pippen shit.
Yeah, dog. That was, like, so weird, bro. Like, and that's the thing, because to me, that says more about Dan Gilbert and repeating the mistakes of the past, man. Because the last time he had LeBron on the team, he kind of mortgaged the future for whatever LeBron seemed to want. And players aren't good GMs, man. I remember when Kobe Bryant wanted Jason Kidd on the team, and he was ready to throw
Bynum
in the trash, dog. He was ready to throw Bynum in the trash.
Like, his ass.
He was talking to them. He was talking to random strangers on camera phone in the parking lot of the mall, like, Andrew Bynum, come on, man. Andrew Bynum? Man, I need Jason Kidd over here. Like, this nigga didn't know what the fuck he was talking
so
about.
Serious.
He's not a GM.
And the Lakers was like, Kobe, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, he's basically like every other nigga that comes to the pickup court and he sees that dude over there dunking on the sideline. He's like, yo, put him on our team. And then you find out the nigga can't dribble, shoot, pass.
Yeah, he's a bad fit.
Yes.
He's going to miss layups if he's not ducking it.
And this LeBron shit with the whole, like, didn't even talk to Wiggins and my other man they trading. Like, it just had this feeling of, like, yo, here he is again taking shit over. Like, he's now in charge. He just walked in Dan Gilbert's office like, I'm the captain now. Look at me.
What's your thoughts on that, on him not talking to Andrew? Like, not even a text. Like, you know, what's your thoughts on that?
Me or Trill?
Man. Either one. Both of y'all.
That was hard. That was hard to watch. It was very hard to watch. Yeah. It was painful to watch that interview on ESPN where he looked like a starving orphan.
He did.
He was like, whoever wants to pay 50 cents for me can have my affection. Like, I was like, God damn, son.
Yeah, dog.
That's some cool shit, man. And it might come back. I don't believe in Andrew Wiggins as much as other people do. I really don't, actually. There are other people in that draft I was higher on. Like, he's a little too Harrison Barnes-ish for me. Like, I think he has elite athleticism and stuff. but it's not always as fluid as I like to see. But I'm rooting for him to develop into the best player in the NBA, if only so we can have some fucking entertainment when he's like, oh, you ain't give me the numbers? Like how Shaq used to go off on David Robinson for not giving him the autograph when he was 15 or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I want that, man. But nah, they did that boy foul.
Yeah, no, I thought that shit was dirty, man. And one of the reasons I'm okay with this trade going through is because I didn't want that dude to play a whole season or half a season with them juxtaposing Kevin Love's numbers every night versus his. Because you knew SportsCenter was going to be petty like that, to be like, you know, the Cavs, they won by 4 today, but Andrew Wiggins only had 6 points and 4 rebounds. Kevin Love, 27 and 13. Like, I didn't want to see that shit. Dude was obviously affected by it. And it's not so much my belief in him necessarily being a star. It's just that I think put him next to LeBron, who wants to mentor somebody, and then you might get something out of him. And now I don't know what's going to happen to him if you just go to Minnesota, you know. Good luck.
Yeah, because they don't develop players there.
Yeah, good luck, bro.
I don't like it. I actually questioned how I felt about LeBron by not minimum saying, hey, you know, trade or no trade, you know, welcome to the NBA.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just minimum welcome to the NBA.
Well, you know what it is, though. LeBron's in that catch-22 position now where if he does buddy up the dude, then it's like, how you going to buddy up and then stab him in the back? If he doesn't say shit to dude, then it's like, wow, you cold motherfucker. You couldn't even say something to him. It reminds me of when he left Miami and people were saying, like, why did he have a meeting with Pat Riley in Las Vegas? He knew what he was going to do. It's like, well, if he didn't have a fucking meeting, we'd be going, did you see how he stiffed on Pat Riley? Didn't even go to a meeting. That dude's so arrogant. He's just going to lose either way. So to me, it seemed like he just said, man, let me just stay out of it. And I know who I want on the team. And I'm going to just leave it at that. And they need to handle that shit. So
it's lose for him. You're right. And by signing a 2-year contract, he put so much pressure on Dan Gilbert. Lost him already. I don't even know what celebrity to compare him to. But it's like a celebrity who had a real bad bitch and was like, you know what? I could do better. And then for 3 years found out he couldn't. Mm-hmm. So he got her back and he was like, anything. What you need now? And he's like, 2-year contract, man. No matter what they said about developing young talent, that's going to force Gilbert to panic and try to get the biggest name they can to contend immediately. But LeBron is loyal. Like, he's I really buy into his.
I don't know, man.
Shit, but I buy into his family shit. Let me not say loyalty. Let me say this. He's into that whole, like, I ride and die with the people I love. Like, he wants to bring Miller back to play with him and James Jones and Ray Allen. Like, and that's his undoing.
Yeah.
Because you don't need them old ass motherfuckers on your team. And you not need love just because you like playing with him and you admire his skill set. Like, you might want to give these young dudes a chance to develop. And I don't think he's. And he has too much say, so you can't stop him. You can't say no to LeBron right now.
Yep. That's the thing, dog. Like, I would have told him, or if I'm Gilbert and I really do believe in the talent that we've drafted, I'm not moving those dudes. Cause you might be sitting on a fucking gold mine that could set up your franchise for an unprecedented run. If any of those dudes pans out like a number one pick should, like, you'll be sitting around like, yo, it's unfair how much talent we have on our team.
Yep.
And it doesn't cost us shit because they're all on rookie contracts. And
7 years, dog.
Yeah.
7-year window instead of like a 3-year window.
And Kevin Love still will come to the Cavs. Because you know what? Because you know what? Because LeBron is still there and your team is better. Like, you have a year's worth of experience now in the playoffs because they'll definitely go to the playoffs still. And it's like, I definitely want to be on that roster now.
Yep.
And if he doesn't, someone else will. Plus, you'll have the cap flexibility to get a shot blocking center, man.
Exactly, man. It seemed like such a, like, to me, this is why I win my fantasy football league every year and why other niggas lose. Cause I would be talking to people and they'd be like, you got to make this trade right now. Like, before you even see what happens during the season, right now, you got to do it. You got to do this shit. I'm like, it's not like, you know, Minnesota will actually be the ones who get more desperate as time goes on, not the the Cavs are acting desperate right now, but Minnesota's the one that really, if you think about it, they're the ones who are going to be scared when you get to January.
Yep. And we saw this already with Denver.
Right.
Like, you saw this in Denver.
Nigga want to go one place. What the fuck? What am I even bartering against, dog? It's one fucking, I'm the only suitor in the market. That's like me going on eBay and upping my own bid. That's fucking stupid. God damn. Anyway, we got another email. NBA stars are pay cuts. What's happening, Balls Deep crew? This is Prince LeBron. He says, I just have a few comments on the NBA stars and pay cuts. I think it's foolish for any player to take a pay cut that is suggested by the team. The big three situation is the only time it makes sense. GMs that are good at their job can build teams while still paying their best player, the max. Kobe has 5 rings without ever taking a pay cut. So why should he start taking less money now? Especially when it appears that the younger Buss and his team don't know how to get the job done. Also, you would still get blamed if your team does not win. All right, let me just start here. The Lakers are a little different. Them niggas was paying the luxury tax because they the Lakers. So it was different. Like, they could afford to be way over the cap and pay Shaq and Kobe and whatever the fuck, because they was like...
Yeah, Rick Fox, Fisher. Yeah,
they didn't care. You know what I mean?
Ori.
But now the tax is so punitive. I think it's something like... $4 for every one you go over, some stupid shit like that. Like, yep. Niggas not doing that no more. So, you getting a max player is cost prohibitive. Now, that being said, I think everybody should try to get as much money as they can, because that's the real game that you're playing. Fuck this championship or not. Like,
it's
nigga,
a business.
Joe Johnson, one of my favorite players of all time because of that. Like, yep. Get paid. And then the other part of it is taking a pay cut for the team is, you know, not necessarily a bad move if you can manipulate some other things like LeBron did. Go to a state without state tax. You know, you have your, he's making more money in endorsements than he makes from his NBA contract in the first place. There's ways to where it won't hurt him like it would hurt, say, if Anthony Morrow took a pay cut to go play for a contender, that hurts him more because he doesn't have the endorsements and all this shit to rely on. So, you know, I don't think it's stupid to take a pay cut necessarily. Even if it's not a big three situation, one of the reasons that they can't build around the Lakers now is because Kobe makes so much money, and you know, you just need to be comfortable with that and realize that only one team wins rings every year anyway. So you might as well get your fucking money.
I think the other part of the, well, first of all, yes, get your money. Let me answer the question. Get your motherfucking money as much as you can. But specifically that Lakers, I think it's the new Buss that's running it. Like Jerry Buss now, Jim Buss could close those deals. Jerry Buss can't. And I think it's as simple as that. You can put it on Kobe that players not coming up. No, they come to the meetings because of Kobe. It's up to the ownership to close it, and they not. They not closing those deals. Like, Melo took a meeting out of respect to Kobe to come to see what the Lakers had to say, and they couldn't close the deal. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else you were wanting to do. And if they offer you the money, you're supposed to take it. Don't offer me the money. How many times have y'all went to a job interview and they've never offered you the maximum of that pay rate, you know, whatever it is that between what they're going
to
offer.
So you don't think it has anything to do with the fact that niggas don't want to play with Kobe like that? Like, it's a reason Kevin Love wasn't like, send me to L.A. or Cleveland. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
not them young guys. Nope.
Because they used to be able to get dudes like the way they got Shaq was essentially like the nigga just wanted to be in L.A., for a long period of time, and when he got the chance, he's like, get me the fuck in there.
Yep.
Like, I don't think they got that anymore.
Right, but I don't think it has to do, like, with those young guys, they come to L.A. because they respect Kobe. They would love to play with Kobe. They play with him in the Olympics. They love playing with Kobe.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
They don't want to be his teammate no more, and it has nothing to do with him being an asshole or any of those plot lines. You know, it's like, yeah, of course they're going to want to go to L.A., but this is just a bad time to do it. You don't want to play with Kobe on his decline, coming off 2 injuries. And, you know, and I think almost out of respect, you don't want to play with him during that time period. You don't want to have a fucked up relationship with being a guy who tries to take shots away from him and has some kind of media war with him. It's just a bad it's a bad context. It was 5 years ago. They would play with him. I don't think it's about Kobe's attitude and him being a cancer and all that kind of shit people say.
I don't think it's the shots either, man. Like, that's the, like, Kobe's never mind giving up shots to dudes that's willing to take the shot.
Yeah, I agree.
It's the Smush Parkers of the league that he has a problem with. And yeah. I have a problem with Smush Parker. So, I mean, we're, like, I don't, like, we're not too different in that aspect.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying, though, is like Trill said, he's, I don't think Kobe is, the player that he once was. So it would take a lot to, like, he won't be the reason they win another championship if they were to win one. It will be some young player that is not getting most of the credit and is kind of playing second fiddle to him. You know what I mean? Even while putting up probably better numbers and all this other shit. I don't think there's a lot of niggas that want to do that, man. Like, why do that when you could go play with LeBron?
Hey, and the money, leaving the money on the table shit, I think they were saying that was part of the reason LeBron was like, fuck Miami. And I'm with the players, man. Don't tell me to take a pay cut when I've already taken a pay cut. And you're bitching about the luxury tax when I know how much you make. Because that was one of the quotes LeBron had when the numbers started coming out, when the Milwaukee Bucks sold. Mm-hmm. He was like, oh, shit. All that shit the owners said. I'm paraphrasing him. But he was like, it looks like there's quite a bit of money going around for these owners.
Yep.
So why am I taking a pay cut? You take the pay cut and pay the luxury tax, dog.
Dog, like, the Clippers just sold for how much?
Yeah, right. I know. And Milwaukee sold for $550 million, and Milwaukee is a fucking joke to a lot of people in terms of a location and a franchise. That's how profitable these franchises are. So no, I'm against players taking pay cuts. I think it works in San Antonio because you have a really bizarre, unique collection of talent. Tim Duncan doesn't care about being in the big market. Tim Duncan has no expenses. Like, dog, that he buys no clothes. He's been wearing the same clothes.
Nah, he got that new girlfriend.
Hold up now, player. Hold up. I seen the new chick, and I feel like he got some new expenses.
Yep. All right, but even with that one, dog, yeah. He's playing minimal.
Yeah, well, it's coming out
that's
of his...
That's a nice car. But what if I just get you this one instead? Like, you know he's cutting corners.
Well, it's coming out of his savings account, I feel like, so it's not really the same as, like, he's not spending no new money on her. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's spending money from 99.
Yeah, like he's still, yeah. He's
still spending money from 88.
Yeah. I'm out for presidents to represent me.
But you know, let's talk about this because no one brings this up and it must be true. When I see Mike Miller and he has a ceiling on his earning potential, mm-hmm. he's only going to get paid so much and only for so much longer.
Yeah, he
when I see him turn down $5 million to play with LeBron, there is an under the table deal, period. Like, there ain't that much love in the fucking world. Like, there's some shit. LeBron is his homie. Maverick sat down. His child is named after Maverick. They sat down and he was like, listen, bro, we about to do this tour of China in 2016. And it's going to be the sneaker contract, and you're going to get this, and it's going to be 100 G's for you posing in this photo. And if we need to, we're going to add you to this. And by the time it's over, you're going to more than make that up. There must be under-the-table deals going on for these people who take supposed pay cuts. Or Kirilenko with that pay cut to New Jersey. Ain't no way in hell he didn't get some deal in Russia you don't know about where he has a vineyard now.
Yeah, I agree, man. Well, the other thing, too, though, is the Spurs have kind of cheated the system and gone under the radar, and people don't hold it against them because all of their big three are underpaid, you know, and it's been that way for a while. Like, I want to say if you combine Ginobili, Duncan, and Parker's salaries, it's still less than $30 million per year. That, I mean, that's a hell of a deal, you know. It's like they got everybody on sale.
Yeah, and I feel like too though they make it up with the local market in San Antonio, like you said,
you
with
mean?
The deals. Like they probably own every fucking other restaurant or business.
Oh, I have no idea. Yeah,
to where?
But can you? I'm just imagining commercials are like, come on down to Mono Ginobili's Chevrolet and Toyota. You know
that, like David Robinson, man. They own between them, Sean Elliott, like them guys, Avery Johnson. They still own everything that's in San Antonio. They got housing developments. down there where, you know, it's like you're not paying, your tax money is still just going right to their pocket.
Yeah, and that is the difference in those small markets too. And that's one of the things I would say about the only time I would say it's advisable for someone like Anthony Moreau to take a pay cut would be to join the Lakers or look at Swaggy P. If Swaggy P was on any other team.
True.
Nobody would care about him. You know the kind of marketing he's getting, the tickets he's getting to be front row at whatever celebrity events with Iggy. He's getting so much exposure, and that exposure leads to jobs with front offices. It leads to you owning a restaurant, being the face of something. They pay you six-figure deal just to use your name for whatever. Sometimes that's more profitable than that extra $4 million on a two-year contract. So, yeah, to play with LeBron or – you know, prime Kobe, maybe not this Kobe, is sometimes it is worth taking that 1 year deal.
But you got to, the other thing about playing with this Kobe, man, is that, like you said, you're going to now get in all the deals that Kobe's in on.
Wait, why would you assume that? Kobe,
if you smush Parker, no.
No, LeBron does that. Kobe ain't doing no, like LeBron does the shit where he does the team sponsorship deals and everybody gets something. Kobe is the epitome of do what you got to do for yourself. That's one of the reasons that niggas don't stay in LA. It's not because he tells them to leave. It's because he tells them to do what's the best for them, which, you know, I think a lot of them niggas equate that to like, oh, he don't really want me here. But he's just being honest, which is, look, man, if you can get more money elsewhere, if you think you can win somewhere else, do that, because I would do it. I don't give a fuck about you, you know? Like, I don't think Kobe is, oh, I got Nikes now. Everybody got Nike. I'm like, man, whatever.
I think Kobe cool to the point where it's like, this is what I'm doing, but this is the business I turned down that's going to make just the same. I just didn't want more than one.
I don't know, bro. I don't think Kobe would ever be like, why don't y'all give Powell the Adidas deal? Like, I feel like he'd just be like, man, that nigga need to get his own shoes. Why are you asking me? I feel like if you walk up to Kobe during practice and ask about what endorsement deal you should do, he only takes one headphone out. You know what I'm saying? Prince LeBron says, the B-ball's best kept secret is prime eligible and is being added to my next order. My goal is to get Dana Barrows to sign it at some point. Holla, Prince Laurent. Yeah, we broke down B-Ball's best kept secret on the last show. Some of the hidden jewels.
I remember that CD, man. I had it. That shit was trash.
Wait, you had it?
Yeah, dog. I was one of them joints where I went on a CD buying binge, and that was one of them.
What was your favorite track?
That shit was all trash, man. I think maybe Gary Payton actually kind of had I remember that.
Yeah.
Dana Barros was garbage. I remember that too. What was Jason Kidd's song on that? The Kid or something?
It was so whack shit. this is the joint that we found two good joints, dog. We got What the Kid Did was Jason Kidd's joint.
Yeah, What the Kid Did. Yeah, but that shit was trash.
The joints I like, the Gary Payton joint was pretty straight, but only like the first 30 seconds. The fucking Malik Silly joint was my jam, dog. Like,
oh, Malik Silly, it was like something about the sauce or something.
Yeah, lost in the sauce.
Lost in the sauce. Yeah, and John Ryder had like some funk Bay Area funk joint or something. Like, yeah, now I'm remembering it better. That shit was trash. Yeah. I don't remember the Malik Silly joint. I'm gonna have to go listen to it again.
This is it right here.
I'm maintaining, man. Remember back in the day before we got the way we at right now, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Moms used to be on your back. Pops put you on punishment and everything, man. Make you study and hit them books and everything. Those are the good old days, you know what I'm saying? So why don't you let them know how I used to be back in the day, you know what I'm saying?
Man, listen. Until I realized that I had a special gift. It wasn't all a bowl of cherries for me to cope with. Everything that life dealt out.
Wow.
Gone too soon, bro. He the basketball big L, bro.
So I felt out the situation to not go the wrong route. And with that in mind, I give thanks to my pops and my moms for extending their loving arms. And being
Man, let me get to the chorus, dog. The chorus so good. Hold on.
I'm finally here. Life's just one big jump shot. Either on or you might be off. So try to maintain and refrain from the strain. And don't get lost in the sauce. Life's just one big jump
shot. Say that again, Trill.
Is that Oludara with the sack?
Oh, that's my jam. And then the other joint was Dennis Scott. Dennis Scott had a song called All Night Party, dog.
Oh, that's one of the most embarrassing niggas in history.
The best song ever, though.
Job that'll stay on point. 3D rap, wow. In the joint. So much funk can make you lose your soul. But I stay cool on cruise control. I see this shit and looking kind of slick. Making it hot, sweating me for a fit. Yo, Clark Kent, let the system rock. Look to the sky, peace in my pocket. I mingle in the middle, shorty look single over there. Throw my hands in the air. Yeah. From behind, I come to find. Now it's time for some bump and grind.
Aw, Sookie Sookie!
He's trying to hook me, but I ain't no rookie, so that's that. All I wanna know is where the party's at.
He had the best engineer, man.
Nigga, Clark Kent did the beat, man.
Oh, okay. He had the best engineer.
Yeah, he produced the shit out of that whack ass shit.
Oh. That shit is like DJ Premier with Malachi the Nutcracker and shit. Like, why are you wasting your time perfecting the beat for this nigga?
Man, what's the over-under on how many kids Dennis Scott got?
Oh, dog, please, let me tell you my man's Dennis Scott story, man. Whoa. One of my closest friends who now runs a thing called Team Scan that just got profiled in the New York Times magazine. It's a youth league basketball team. They're trying to do it the right way, without taking any under the table money and really getting these kids into school and shit. Mm-hmm. He used to work for the Orlando Magic for a brief period. He was trying to become an executive. And so one of his jobs at one point was he was in charge of the VIP area for a game at which Dennis Scott came and Tone Loc was the halftime entertainment. And so the officials told him, listen, there's a certain amount of tickets we have for the buffet in the VIP lounge. You cannot give any tickets to Dennis Scott because he'll eat everything. And he was like, are y'all serious? And they were like, yes, no VIP tickets. So he was like, man, I seen Dennis Scott. He comes up to me immediately. He's like, hey, what's up, Black? Hey, you got any of them tickets, man? He was like, nah, I don't got any. He's like, I know you got some. And they told you not to give them to me. He was like, nah, I didn't got them. So he's like, Tone Loc is performing. And Tone Loc had just done another performance at halftime somewhere else. Tone Loc forgot what city he was in. He's in Orlando, and he shouted out either Detroit or Boston, and the crowd boos him. So he comes to the VIP buffet. Dennis Scott is dissing him for his performance, and as soon as he comes in the door, Dennis Scott goes, where the fuck did they find your ass? And he said, Tone Loc looked at him and said, I know where they found you, at another one of these buffets, you fat nigga.
Oh!
And he said that these dudes almost came to blows, and his job was supposed to be some like professional shit. And he was like, Jay, my job ended up being separating Tone Loc and Dennis Scott and guarding the buffet tickets from Dennis Scott. And that shortly after he quit and he started doing other shit.
Holy shit. See, man, that's why he on the show, dog. I told you, Trill got a million stories. I had no idea that All Night Party was leading there, man.
Scott is a legend, dog.
I found one article back in 98. He was dealing with child support issues.
I believe it, man. Yo, but
he was ordered to pay $5,000 a month.
Dog, you know who gotta have child support issues. Going by them videos, Cedric Ceballos, man. Oh, yeah. All them light-skinned hoes in that video. Man, there's no way he wasn't knocking them off. Then he took that break when Magic came back and went to Miami and got caught with, on the fucking, he got caught, what do you call those, the fucking wave things that he was on? You know what I'm talking about?
The wave runner?
Yeah, he got caught on the wave runner.
Yeah.
At the beach when he was supposed to be rehabbing, like,
yeah.
Yeah, that nigga, like, I guarantee he done put it in some, he done went raw quite a few times.
Hey, man, this was in 98. He was ordered to pay $5,000 a month minimum till she turns 18. That's why he on NBA TV, dog. Yep. He still got to get them checks coming in.
Somebody need to play that song, man. Why they don't play that song on NBA TV? Yo, they need to get him on TNT, dog, so Charles and them can play the song one time, bro.
They wouldn't do it.
Oh, what? Yeah, they would, man. They do everything in Barrett. They show that fight with Charles and Shaq, like, once a month, dog. They get Dennis Scott on there. You know they're going to be like, yeah, hold up now, Dennis, before you go. It's an all-night party. All right, so we got last email. This just came in from Lionel. He says, what's the good, Balls Deep crew? This is your boy, Nell. Last week, y'all had me laughing so hard at work, I never knew that former NBA players made a rap CD. Yeah, and there's a new one coming out. I can't wait to. I'm buying the new one, dog. We going through it. Did some of these players forget what their talent is? It definitely wasn't in rapping. I know local rappers in my hood 10 times better than those athletes rapping. That isn't saying much because I wouldn't even give those local cats $1 to buy their mixtapes or CDs. Anyways, thank God football is near. I just want to make a suggestion. I think y'all should do a head-to-head battle in choosing the winners of each week's football games for the entire regular season. I think that would be entertaining to see y'all's predictions each week and see which upsets y'all choose as well. Maybe create a pick'em league, maybe an alternative for your fantasy league since so many people want to participate in that. Anyways, keep up the outstanding work and I'll keep listening. Oh, yeah, that's a good point. That's a great suggestion. I will take that under advisement, dog. All right, man. We got tons of fucking articles. Let's just get to them because some I'm sure won't take long to talk about and I'm sure others will be longer. Chris Paul says them niggas is thinking about boycotting if Donald Sterling's still the owner at the beginning of the year. I'm calling bullshit.
I agree.
Yeah. Them niggas not boycotting, bro.
He might can afford to boycott. I don't know about the rest of the players on the
team. Yeah, when niggas say shit like that, does that mean, like, my black ass got to boycott, too? Because your rich ass can boycott? Like, you going to float me or something, dog? Because you don't know what kind of bills I got.
Not just the now, but 2 years from now, like, the cats that's barely on the team, they boycott. They not getting on another team.
Yeah.
Nobody else is picking them up. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I think niggas talking wreck. Like, cause you always hear like LeBron says they might boycott. Okay, cool. What about Mike Miller? Does he want to boycott?
Yeah. What about Reggie Bullock? Right. Can he boycott? CJ Wilcox.
Right. Yeah. Is CJ Wilcox someone like, yeah, I got it to spend.
Can Big Baby Glenn Davis really afford a boycott? You know what I mean? Like, can he sit out?
He got to be at those buffet tables fighting Tone Loke.
Because while Doc Rivers gives him an opportunity, what other coach really is fucking with Big Baby Glenn Davis right now?
Right.
Even though he is a good pickup, though.
Joakim Noah, he actually spoke to address the violence in Chicago, man. He had a press conference to talk about street violence.
Look at him being all light-skinned. Wanting to avoid the violence. That's...
Chill, man. Joe is the gulliest light-skinned dude out there. He's all we got.
Yeah, I just like the light-skinned on light-skinned slander there, man.
But no, it was more of a compliment used in a derogatory way, though.
Yeah, well, it's like when people say that Drake is a crooner. It's like, I know what you really mean.
Man, did he bring weed to the convention?
That's what he should have did.
Like I feel like if he'd have brought weed, then his message would have been heard loud and clear.
I think we all need to chill out, spark one, and just call it a day.
He should have been on the first episode of Black Jesus.
We already talked about Paul George and his leg injury, so I'm skipping that one.
But I didn't get to mention, though, that I think that's karma to Paul George, not wanting to take care of his child.
God damn.
That really was karma. Like,
man, you know how many of these damn NBA players, NFL players, and everyday niggas are out there trying to get women to abort their seeds?
Yep, but they wasn't offering them.
But
karma was like, his shit made front page news. You know what I mean? And that, I felt like that was karma, man.
Hey, you think she was like sitting around hating this shit? Like, good, you broke leg.
Yep. She was hating.
She's sitting on the sonograms. Like, the baby got two healthy ankles.
Karma, man. That's all karma. You got that car you can't fucking drive now.
Hey,
like, oh, you can afford new Ferraris, but you can't afford child support payments. Okay.
He's catching hell. Hey, on some real shit though, this might help him win custody. Cause now you can be like, look, I don't got shit to do.
I got time.
I'm rich. You ain't gotta worry about me leaving the house. None of this shit. It's just gonna be me and my baby. I want all the custody. She don't get shit. We're not married. They not married. So like, he has no reason to pay her anything other than child support. And if he can get full custody, he don't gotta pay her nothing.
Hey man, he can't run right now though if she get mad. Like, if she gets mad and try to jump on him, he can't run, he can't move.
Well, they don't live together.
No, I'm talking about out in public. Like, when he show up for court,
in the court,
he's safe. Outside the court, he got to make it to the car, man.
But that just helps his case. Your Honor, she beat me up on the way over here, and, you know, she a stripper. You know he's going to bring
up.
You know he's going to bring up that she a stripper, too. You're like, oh, she an Instagram hoe.
You validating all my points as to why she will attack him outside of court.
Yeah, so
what she got to lose?
My argument isn't that she won't attack him. I just think he could play it up and get custody.
I don't know that he's that smart to use it against her.
Well, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
I mean, he is out here nutting inside these strippers.
Yeah. And he got caught out. Remember when that gay dude?
Right.
He got caught sending his dick pics to gay dudes and shit.
Right. Like, come on.
That nigga should have never got the internet.
This
man.
Is all karma.
They
need advisors for real. Like, they really honestly need life coaches, man.
For real. Just one dude that, like, got been on a message board since 96. Every entourage needs one dude like that to be like, no, nigga, that's probably a dude, man. Get some face pics, man, before you send your dick over there.
Yeah, FaceTime. FaceTime.
Yeah, tell her to Skype you.
They're so lazy, though. That's the whole thing. Like, these dudes can pick up women so many ways, but they're just so lazy. They're like, oh, man, this bitch coming right to my door on Instagram? All
right. Right. You know what it is? That's the reason. So many of y'all give Derek Jeter props. I just realized it. That's why. Because there's so many ways the groupie shit can go wrong.
Yep.
And he's never had a bad one. So I see what y'all saying now.
That's the other thing.
I used to think y'all niggas was tripping, but I see. If you think about all the examples we have of niggas caught up in baby mama drama, lawsuits, sexual assault accusations, he's never even had one, and we know he's betted half of New York, so... I do gotta give y'all credit on that.
But he sleeps with bum bitches. The brilliant thing about him is he understood the game. And I feel like LeBron is really good at this too. Like, they understand that there might be some bum joints they slay on some nasty shit because they're human. But they use their prime women, whether it's Derek Jeter dating models and songstresses or LeBron showing that he's a family man with his wife and kids. Mm-hmm. They use their prime women as PR pieces. Like, Dwight Howard was fucking with a chick who worked at a McDonald's who just graduated high school or something. That's embarrassing.
That is.
Like, that's the one you got to hush up.
Yeah.
Like, have something in the public that's respectable so people cheer you on, man.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He tried that with Royce.
Like, I always kind of thought Derek Jeter was overrated because he never took steroids. But once you throw in the groupie shit, man, I take it back.
The other thing, man, the steroids fuck up your dick action.
Right. That's what I was saying. He didn't want it bad enough. Like, during that era, enough people wanted it bad enough that they did steroids. And this nigga was like, nah, I'm too much on these bitches to be fucking with that. But I get it, man. Like, I take it back, man. I'm gonna stop slandering that, man. Know,
Paul George also validates my reason of watching shows because they're gonna show the titties. Because you say it's free on the internet, right?
Right.
Apparently not. He's still out here doing these other things.
No, it's free on the internet, not in real life. He's trying to get them in real life, so he's spending money and shit. Tiger Woods withdrew from a tournament because his back was hurting. And then he was like, now my back is okay, so I'm going to play on Thursday. But I wonder if it was because he was down 20 strokes that his back just felt a little more tighter on Sunday. And it was okay 2 days later. I mean, he did just have back surgery. But that seems like a hell of a quick turnaround.
Anything Tiger Woods related to me just goes back to his concussion. I don't care what you say.
Yeah. undiagnosed concussion syndrome.
He got hit with a golf club in the head.
Yeah. Concussion. Nobody's talking about it.
Concussion.
Yep.
Didn't all the other dude just get caught on the golf tour banging people's wives and doing coke?
Yep.
Yep. It don't count, though.
And he was engaged with, like, Wayne Gretzky's daughter.
Yep. But he white.
If that had been Tiger Woods, and I mean, before the other scandal, even, like, if the other scandal didn't happen, but this did, boy, whoo.
Yeah, he got hell for cheating on a white woman. A couple weeks ago, when we were talking about the Ray Rice shit on Twitter, and I was like, you know, man, keep your hands off each other. There's really no excuse for that shit, man. Just, you know. You could be a man, keep your hands to yourself. And it's like, well, what if you're in a relationship? And I was like, you know, just don't fucking hit each other. And this dude was like, I was like, imagine if it would have went the other way and it would have been fucking Tiger Woods hitting his wife instead of her hitting him. And this dude was like, well, she deserved to hit him. I mean, he was cheating. I was like, kind of shit is that, man? You know you saying that because she's a white woman. you know that because you know he can't hit her back. If he would have hit her ass back, he'd be like, remember when Tiger Woods, before he went to prison, he was pretty good.
Remember the Harlem Nights when he shot her in the pinky toe?
Yep.
He wasn't supposed to be out there fighting that woman. Everybody told him he wrong for it.
Right. Then he shot her in the pinky toe. And did he go to jail? Of course not. She's black. Andy Dalton got paid, dog. 6 years, $115 million extension. From my understanding, a lot of his shit is supposed to be caught up in escalators. So like if he has a good year, he gets more money and shit.
Is he shaving?
I sound like it. it sounds like my man got $115 million.
He won't see that money.
With $19.2 million a year is the average. I'm thinking we never see him make that money.
He won't. And there's a lot of it they say is incentive based. Mm-hmm. So he won't make those incentives.
We lost Trill, by the way. I don't know what happened. Let me try to call him back.
It was shaving, man.
He had to turn it off while he finished shaving. Couldn't find a mute button.
He got to prepare for work later.
Yeah. Anyway, Dog got the money. I'm just thinking that Cam Newton looking at this like, so when do I get paid?
He getting it, man. Isn't he still on, he got one, this is last year?
Yeah.
I hope they don't, who is it? What's the Panthers on? Jerry Jones? Jerry Richardson. Yeah, I just really hope they don't fuck it up and Cam lead the Panthers. Because of how the organization, from the ownership standpoint, treats him, man, with the lack of respect. It's just it's just terrible how they treat him.
Yeah, dog. He lost, because they don't have the money, he lost all of his wide receivers and talent, you know, around him. And it's just him, a rookie wide receiver, and Greg Olsen is pretty much all he has left. Meanwhile, I don't understand how Andy Dalton, how they even had the money to pay Andy Dalton.
Right.
Because Andy Dalton's, his skill position players are actually good. Like, where did they get the money from?
Maybe they don't mind paying any fines. I'm not sure what it is in NFL, but, you know, maybe they don't mind paying it.
It's just weird, dude, because, I remember the argument that started the, remember when it was who's better, the Andy Dalton or Cam Newton? Remember that they had to do that for a whole year?
Yep.
And the numbers weren't even close? And now you look at who gets paid, and it's fucking Andy Dalton getting paid, not Cam Newton.
Yep,
it's really hard to believe.
Yeah, because they got Bernard running back, Green Ellis running back, Green, Ben Tate, a wide receiver. Who was this other receiver?
We got him back. All right, cool.
Marvin Jones.
Yeah, they got skill players. And Andy Dalton, when they get to the playoffs, he be coming up short as fuck.
Yep, that's what I'm saying. That's why it's incentive based, and he not gonna see it. That money is based off him actually performing, and he not gonna perform, so he might see less than half of that. This contract now, but then next year when he actually get paid after performing this season, they gonna be like, well, Andy Dalton really only made $6 million.
Yeah. Yo, NFL contracts are the salary equivalent of catfishing. It's crazy. You be looking at that shit, it looks so fucking good, and then, like, he actually made $150,000, and then they cut his ass.
That is true. Greg Oden got arrested for being provoked by his girlfriend.
Damn.
Former Lawrence North basketball star, NBA player Greg Oden was arrested Thursday morning in a battery case. He's accused of punching his ex-girlfriend. According to the police department, they were dispatched to his house at 3:30 in the morning on Thursday. Prime arguing hours.
You know what happened, man. His knees was feeling a little sore. They asked to be rubbed, and she wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. He was like, look, bitch, if you don't rub me, I'm going to punch you in the face.
I just want to know, like, did he punch you in the face and then his knees started hurting again? Because I feel like he's at that level of fragility. he hit her and then he's like, oh, shit, call 911.
Because they had to stand up.
Yeah.
they was just asking to be rubbed.
I feel like
please.
It's like when Big Pun was beating his wife and then she just went up the stairs.
The
I feel like you could do that to Greg Oden. You know what I mean? You could be, fuck you little dick, punk motherfucker, your mama ain't shit. Oh, what you gonna do? Walk across the room? You gonna walk across the room? There's a lot of steps.
He got all one level.
So sad.
That's his regular face, though, I thought.
Yeah, I'm about to put it in the, boom. I'm about to put it in the chat room.
Greg Oden faces when you open up the refrigerator door and it's only less than a cup of Kool-Aid left in the picture. Like, that's the face he made right then.
He reminds me, he has that Quest Love expression where he often looks like he's in continual, a state of continual remembering how someone told him he was ugly when he was 13. Even the way that he talked to the police officers when they came, it's like a sense of resignation. He was like, yeah, I know what you gotta do, just handcuff me.
Dude, that's that's one of the reasons I was like, I can't ride behind the niggas need to hit their woman bandwagon, cause that's every nigga when the cops show up, man. Like, darn, just go ahead and put the cuffs on, bro. I know it. I had an uncle that got stabbed by his wife, and they took his ass to the cop. They took him to jail, bro.
Damn, that's fucked up.
They their reasoning was like, it's for your protection. What?
This on my record.
Protect me by getting her the fuck out of here. She stabbed me, dog.
But, you just gotta, that's one of those double standards. There's so many double standards that women suffer from.
Yeah.
That's just one we gotta eat. I remember there was this crazy white woman when I was living in the Midwest who was stalking me for a little while, sending me crazy text messages, calling me 10 times a day. We're soulmates, all this shit. So I was gonna take a restraining order out on her. Damn. My ex-girlfriend, I told my ex-girlfriend this shit. I'm like, yo, I'm about to take a restraining order out on this bitch. And she said, yo, you're gonna have to think about that. And I was like, what you mean? She's like, man, when the cops show up to arrest that blonde-haired, blue-eyed white woman in the Midwest, and she tells them that she ain't been stalking you, but it's the other way around, and they come see your 6'6 black ass, who you think's gonna end up in jail?
Right.
And I was like, you know what? Let me not put no restraining order out. Because she's right.
Yep. This is exactly why Kobe had to plead. Don't matter what happened. Don't matter what happened in the room.
Yeah, you know.
So he says, when they arrived, they found a woman lying down with blood on her face. They encountered a woman who was yelling and crying. The witness identified herself as the victim's best friend.
His knees was angry, boy. They've been out walking all day long. It can't get rubbed on.
He punched her in the face. My hands hurt, and I just want to go home, the woman told police.
Why does her hand hurt?
Was she hitting him, too?
Why does her hands hurt?
The officer noticed blood swelling to the nose, lacerated to the forehead and nose area of the victim's face. Police also saw blood on the sofa and the floor. Damn, he hit the shit out of her.
Yep.
A flower pot was also knocked over during the disturbance. The victim refused medical treatment and told police she fell, but was unable to advise when and where.
Hmm.
Man, okay. she was trying to help him out.
Okay, so marriage in his future anytime soon?
She trying to.
Nope, because it's no video.
Yeah, she's trying to upgrade.
He good. No video.
Police described her as uncooperative in the report. A relative of Odin said the argument between the basketball player and victim woke her up. Every time the two visit and go out, there is an argument to follow. Things got out of control, and I started to go after the victim, police quoted Odin in the report. He said the relative and witness tried to hold him back, but he swung his arm trying to break through and punch the victim.
Man, why
he was out of control.
Why are they talking? I know the first thing his lawyer said was shut the fuck up.
Because he ain't talked to his lawyer before that.
Damn, he's stupid.
The nigga was just trying to, look, man, I was out of control. They was holding me back, so I accidentally punched in the face. He says, I was wrong, and I know what has to happen. Damn, that's exactly what his mugshot says, y'all. That it should be a caption under that bitch.
Hey, he trying to get those retroactive, respectable
yeah.
points. Like he punched in the face, but since he's contrite, he thinks he ain't gonna get the sentence.
He tried to bring it. All the cops looking at it is like, that's a confession, nigga. First 48. first 12.
What?
This nigga was like, let me put the cuffs on myself. I'm so disappointed.
Was he at least allowed to drive himself to the, cause out of his, how is he 7 feet tall in the back of that car? Yeah. Handcuffed?
They had to put him in the drunk wagon, probably.
Handcuffed, man, 7 feet.
Hey, dog, you think
pushing his head down to fit in the back of the car?
Hey, they should start a new TV show called The First 48 Minutes. it should start niggas that confess when the cops just show up. Man, I shot that nigga, and then, fuck, I guess that's it, huh? I'm going to jail. All right, man. He said he and a woman had dated for approximately 2 years and broke up about 2 months ago. Police described Odin as calm, apologetic, and cooperative. And said he told them that he took full responsibility for his actions. He was taken into custody and transported to the APC. And they say, talk about his career after that. But
is he not trying to get back in the NBA for one more year sitting on somebody's bench?
I mean, not that hitting a woman would keep him from playing professional sports. I don't think
basketball.
I don't think that's a problem. Siobhan Funches.
Hey, boo.
Hey, girl. How you doing?
It's been a long time.
You know, he must be acting up. She back in the news.
You still fine, though. Don't let him bring you down.
Right. She wants a judge taken off of their divorce case because the judge is a groupie.
Yeah, she's always said that, too. She's always said that the judge rules in favor of anything Dwayne Wade wants. Mm-hmm. Just because he's a fan of Dwayne Wade.
Yeah. Well, it says here, Dwayne Wade and his ex-wife, Siobhan Funches, still have some residual issues to hash out in court. This time, D-Wade isn't exactly the direct target. His celebrity is. Per Gossip Extra, Funches filed a motion against the Miami-Dade County Family Court Judge George Sardew. And asked him to step down from the case because he's a groupie over Dwayne Wade.
I thought it was in Chicago. So how do you get family court in Florida but divorce in Chicago?
He got all the money, dog. He took the kids, remember?
Damn it, man. Like that's some cold shit right there. Mm-hmm. Like he took the divorce to Chicago probably because of how the rules are set up. Where he don't have to give her half. But family court, we're going to keep that in Miami.
Among the no-nos that the judge allegedly committed, mostly at a July 3rd hearing in which Funches complained that Wade refused to release their kids for her summer visitation. Now, that's some dirty shit. I mean, she can't get the kids for the summer, man? You gonna keep them all year long, Dwayne? Damn. Funches requested an emergency meeting June 22nd and lost 2 weeks with the kids because the judge scheduled the hearing to accommodate Wade's travels.
What was he traveling to? Vacation.
You know, him and Gabby was probably going to the islands and shit.
Man, he on vacation.
Taking pictures on Instagram and them working out together and going to the beach with her kids. And then the judge was like, oh, well, I'll wait till you get back from vacation.
Two break babies.
While he was having two break babies. Chairs were specially set up to allow college students to be close to Wade, who was called to testify. One of Mackey's assistants said she heard a female student say that the highly unusual seating arrangements were made because her dad is a friend of Sardew's. So he gave special seating in court so people could see Dwayne Wade's case. During Wade's testimony, Sardou...
he's selling court-side seats in court, man. Mm-hmm.
Literal court-side seats.
Right.
Sardou seemed attentive and argued in favor of Wade while he was seen conversing with a staffer during Funch's testimonies. So, like, he listened to Wade, then when Siobhan got up there, he started talking to niggas like, hey, man, y'all see the game last night? Huh? What'd you say? Yeah, I know. You crying about the kids. Something like that. Yeah, just wrap it up.
Keep going.
We listening.
I'm listening, yeah. Bitch. Keep going.
Jesus, bitch. You still talking?
Damn, you black hurt, bitch. I mean, you already divorced him and got $5,000 from it. What else do you want?
So I do, according to Mackie's motion, brought out his wife out of his chambers and introduced her as Wade looked on. Allegedly, Sardou never showed off his wife in court before.
Damn, he had his whole family there, man. I want y'all to meet Dwayne Wade. This is my new, this is my homeboy, Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne!
You think he had a Dwayne jersey under the robe?
He was the only nigga using that horrible three nickname and shit. What's up, three? Siobhan also has a suit against her ex-husband's lawyer and the Dalton police, who arrested her for allegedly kidnapping her sons during a visit. The charges were later dropped. Yeah, because she ain't kidnapped them niggas. He was like, you know, she showed up to see the kids, and then he was like, oh, yeah, we going on vacation. I forgot to tell you. So you can see them for 5 minutes. I know it's supposed to be 3 weeks.
Man, he a piece of shit, man.
Yeah.
I'm glad he lost. I'm telling you, everything LeBron did to him was LeBron's wife, Savannah, because she was like, fuck Dwayne Wade. You getting the fuck up out of Miami away from him. Because she's seeing this now. Savannah on the phone with Savannah right now. Like, girl, do you see this shit? What he doing to me?
Right. Bad influence, man.
He had to leave Miami. It wasn't a choice.
there's a new story out that Shaq used to get naked in the locker room and while naked, he would force him. I'm trying to get it out, Justin. Damn. Let me just finish.
But why they had brought this up on NBA or TNT?
He used to get naked in the locker room and force his teammates and coaches to wrestle with him.
Is that in the contract? So are the coaches at that point, Rod, are you disappointed in them? They be like, fuck it, I can't work in these conditions.
No, he like Will Ferrell in Ladies Man.
The fuck? I always got oil and shit. Shaq, what you doing with that oil, man?
Shaq, put some clothes on, bro.
Hey, man, I was just trying Shaq, to draw up in peace. I'm in my own private dressing room, Shaq. What you doing to him? How'd you get the key?
Talking in that Shaq voice and shit.
Look at the baby oil.
Come on, Shaq, get off me, man.
The new baby oil. I'm trying to test the product. See how it works.
7 foot, 300 pounds, dog. All up on Shaq. You. All up
naked,
on you.
Naked, man.
Trying to. See? This is why they don't want...
I'm speechless, yo.
Yo, this is the kind of shit they act like the gay dude. This is what they act like Michael Sam's gonna do in the locker room.
Meanwhile, you got big ass Shaq running around telling people how his ass tastes, wrestling naked and shit.
Yeah, the longer their careers go, the more I'll be on Kobe's side about hating Shaq.
You write about that homoerotic shit too. About how homoerotic the straight locker rooms are, dog. You just made me think about when they were writing the books about the Bulls, and they were talking about Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and Horace Grant sitting around naked talking about whose son is going to have the biggest dick.
What?
Never heard this story.
No, that's a true story.
Never heard that.
Michael Sam's in that situation. People bringing out the pitchfork.
Why is he looking at dick? See, I told you.
It's a distraction.
He's the size queen.
Dan Levitard got suspended for 2 days for a prank where he bought some billboards. I think it was actually 6, although ESPN seemed to think it was 1. He bought 6 billboards around Cleveland that told LeBron he was welcome for the 2 rings that he got in Miami.
You know, I didn't realize Dan was that salty like that.
He's not, though. If you listen to the show, which I do, he did it as like a joke and because he thought it was ironic. And they talked about the shit for like 2 weeks. But ESPN said they suspended them because they weren't informed. And, which means they don't even listen to their own shows.
There's something else going on there, right? Because they suspended him from the radio for 2 days for trolling, but they pay Skip millions of dollars a year to do that shit every day.
Every day. Yeah, man. I don't know exactly why. Like, I don't know if it's just because he went through on it or something, but
it was funny. They were all true things he put on the billboards, right? Wasn't it pictures of things people in Cleveland said about LeBron?
Yeah.
Along with the two rings?
I guess. I don't...
Yeah, that's just weird.
Like, I thought one of them was the rings where he had, like, you know, where he got the two rings in Miami. But the other ones was, like, the things that people in Cleveland said about him for leaving.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see that one. The way he described it was he just put stuff like, from Poppy Levitard and Stu Gotts and thank you. And you're welcome. And just a picture of two rings, and he bought six of them. That's what he said on the show. So if it's something different than that, I haven't heard.
Oh. Yeah, there's one of them I'm looking at right now. It's a butt naked Shaq wrestling with Dennis Scott. Yeah, let's suspend him after that shit.
Yeah.
It's a little too far, Dad.
It said, tell me how my ass tastes. But yeah, man, I think the suspension probably is bullshit. Like, it's probably paid. And I noticed that they're off of the air on TV for the rest of the week anyway.
Yep.
And they're supposed to be back Monday. So it sounds like he'll just be back and they'll do the normal show. Here's the thing though. I'll suggest all of y'all motherfuckers go and find the, Dan Levitard podcast from, Wednesday, I think is when this happened. Because live on the air, he finds out that he's about to get suspended. And that shit was so good. And, Bo was on the show too. And Bo was clowning because Bo was like, because he hadn't been on the show for a couple weeks. So when they started describing like what they did, he was like, yeah, leave me out of this. This sounds like y'all gonna get in trouble. And like, and they were like trying to clown him on some like, oh, you're not trying to be down. You're not trying to be down. Like, and by like hour two, it was like, I just got a text message and, looks like, we might have to, talk to some people after the show. And, yeah, Bo turned out to be right. Bo been fired enough to know that certain shit you just can't get away with, man. So yeah, he'll be out the air for 2 days, returning Monday. And, yeah, they acted like they didn't know about the plans. But like I said, he really did talk about this shit every day for fucking 3 hours a day. So whatever. Kisses Gene Simmons says he sides with Donald Sterling.
That sounds about right.
Yep.
He's
doing press for the new AMC series Fourth and Loud and the Kiss branded Arena Football League team LA Kiss. Simmons was asked if he had followed the Sterling incident. He said, I'm on the side of Don Sterling. But he replied before his position was even asked. So you heard about the Don Sterling. Oh yeah, Don Sterling. I'm on his side. Mm-hmm. Although he admits that Sterling is heinous, he opines that he should have been let off with a fine since the rant occurred in private. He goes on to insinuate that all people make racist rants or off color jokes in private. Because you say an off color joke or make a racist rant privately, that caused you to lose a job. Nobody will have a job.
That's true. You should have heard the one Rod said the other day about the Japanese.
Oh, it was a good one, guys.
It was a good one.
You guys know how I feel about those guys. To prove his point, he offered a slippery slope argument. They're going to go after Sterling. He's going to put out a few million dollars out there because he can afford it. And he's going to ask the paparazzi out there to find videos of all the other team members talking trash and racist rants. And finally, Simmons linked the loss of privacy to Sterling's fate. I'm on the side of free speech and the privacy of your own home or privacy of the situation. Big Brother has finally crawled in bed with us. So
these dudes, man. These dudes all of a sudden get deep into the Orwell only when it's the worst, most offensive shit to niggas. It's crazy.
You want to hear something really ironic? Earlier in the interview, he said he was in support of changing the name of the Washington Redskins.
That doesn't make sense. You can't pick one and not the other.
Like, we all know that black people make jokes about white people in private.
Yeah.
But it's usually like, oh, he jumped off that building for fun? That's some white people shit. My relatives have never said some shit like, you know, there's some second class citizens, the dog ass looking, maybe eating shit. Don't ever bring one of them crackers around me, the ugly mother. Like, it's just so vile and hateful, these rants against black people. They come from a dark place,
dude. Yeah, dog. I mean, nobody's talking about you can date white people, but don't bring them to my games. You know what I mean? Like, it's a totally different type
of shit. Don't bring them to my barbecue.
Right.
And yeah. That allowed ribs.
Rod, is that really a white woman in that photo with you, my man? Right. Hey, you better take that shit off Instagram, nigga.
Right. You in trouble. The Colts' Trent Richardson guarantees people will love the new version of him.
Did he get cut?
Right. is a new version of him on the second string?
You gonna love this.
It was a new system for Trent, man. This year is gonna be a different year for him.
Dog, you gotta stop making excuses for this nigga, man.
Watch, man.
Like, honestly, man. This nigga averaged 2.9 yards a carry last season.
Struggle cuts.
If I was playing fantasy football this year, he would be on my team.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just saying.
I mean, I get it, because you could draft him in like round 17. Because
I mean, he's not my first round pick, but he'd be available and not pick him up. Yes. And
what round?
Whatever round is after I've got my other key players.
What round is that?
I haven't played fantasy football in a while. Round that is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That round is called the waiver wire.
Nobody draft, man. Oh, this is why, man. I love fantasy football. No, man, people like you.
It's a new system, man. I'm trying to tell you. Last year was a new system. This year he has a better grip on the playbook, what he needs to do. He's always been a great blocker, things like that. He always could catch and run. Now he just needs. Now he's going to have the system in place where he can just come out the gate, 5 yards a run. Watch.
It wasn't the system's fault. This nigga couldn't run.
He came from Cleveland to a classy organization. I mean, what do you expect?
Well, see, this is the problem with your argument.
Pick out one?
Right. Well, he got drafted by Cleveland, which you admit is a terrible organization that makes bad decisions. I'm saying it was a bad decision then.
Nope.
And it's still a bad decision. He's not a good player.
He was a good player that once he got to their organization, like, they fuck up everything.
Nah, man.
And once he got there and they got rid of him, now he had to get off all he learned at Cleveland, and this year it's a new trend.
He's not good, and I stick to that.
He was good in college, man.
Right. So is everybody. So everyone in the NFL was good in college. Tim Tebow was good in college. This nigga sucks, man. Can't even make it to the fucking offensive line without tripping over something and falling down.
Praise Jesus.
Nigga be having... He the only dude that... He just has yards to the point of contact. Like, there's no such thing as yards at the contact for him. It's just...
Although, if I was a running back, I don't blame him.
Yards... and, like, his stats just say yards until contact.
I would fall down after that, too. Because...
And also, he made this promise last year, remember?
Nope,
yeah,
I don't.
Yeah, you do,
I have
dog.
A short memory.
Because we talked about it every week.
I don't.
This nigga stayed...
Why you bringing up old stuff?
He stayed making excuses.
The man apologized and said he was going to play better. I'm taking him at his word, okay? Why are you so hateful?
Nigga stayed making excuses last year.
I thought
year.
You had moved away from Black Twitter. Why are you so hateful?
nigga be getting 42 yards and
I
then
thought
be
you
like,
was in a new community now.
Nigga be getting 42 yards and be like, you know, last night I had a good sleep. I prayed to the Lord. I ate some breakfast this morning. I'm thinking next week is going to be the week. 42 yards again. That nigga's terrible.
It's probably the woman in his life. It's the environment, man. Put him in a warm weather environment. He'll do better.
John Jones, the UFC fighter, is going to fight some dude named Daniel Cormier. And, he was talking some shit and he said, I'm going to make you my wife. You'll be Mrs. Jones for the night. Hey, man.
That sounds romantic.
Yeah. He also said it's going to be intimate and passionate.
See, romantic.
He said it's going to be intimate. And then Cormier replied, and passionate.
Cormier gonna come out to Billy Paul. Mrs. Jones.
So we can't have Sam's in the football league, but meanwhile and boxing, you're allowed to court one another publicly.
He says, I'm going to make you my wife. You're going to be Mrs. Jones for the night. I'm going to rub on that big old belly and you're going to like it. Yes, you will. It's going to be right in your face. I'm going to put it right on your face, Cormier replied. I'm going to smother you with my big old fat belly. And Jones says, am I going to like it? And then Cormier said, yeah, it's actually kind of nice.
What in the
kind of romance is this?
And that's when Megan Olivi, who was the moderator for the question and answer session, cut them both off and finally said, this is getting weird. Next question. Dude, wow. What the fuck, man?
That's bizarre, man.
They like, what is happening in the UFC? It's already a pretty homoerotic sport. Bunch of big greasy ass niggas like rubbing on each other and shit. And
we needed him to do a Mike Tyson. Usually I don't fight dudes unless I fornicate with them first.
They just got engaged at a press conference.
Right. I'ma fuck you until you love me. Word to Allah. Yeah.
Oh shit.
But yeah, so
well, good luck with their relationship. Good luck.
It's weird though, cause like earlier that week them niggas tried to fight each other at a press conference. Like, I don't know. Anyway.
It's about that was a lover's quarrel right there, Rod, is what we witnessed.
Speaking of the UFC, Josh Grisby, who's a UFC fighter, he was arrested for some disturbing allegations of domestic violence. Seems to be the mark of the week. The initial reports were that Grisby had been arrested twice in a 4-day span for violent attacks on his wife, including having a bull terrier attack and bite her.
Damn.
Oh.
Nigga sicked the dog on his wife?
How long was he planning it? Like,
yeah, did you have to train the dog to like attack your wife?
Yes.
That didn't even make sick him.
Yes.
That's a pretty good strategy though, because you might be able to use the provoke excuse.
Right. Yeah.
She provoked him.
She touched his food bowl, Your Honor, and that had nothing to do with me.
I ain't touch him.
New details have emerged in what police are calling the worst case of domestic abuse they ever seen.
Oh.
So it says again, it was stressed that the dog was trained to attack Josh's wife and that he would choke the dog unconscious following the attacks.
What?
Damn. So I was right there. He trained the dog.
Well, why was he choking the dog though?
This nigga's in there like, somebody gonna snitch.
Unsecured guns were left next to the playpen of their 1-year-old child. What?
Was that her fault or his fault?
Sound like him. Caitlin Grisby didn't extend the restraining order in the hopes that he would be better. Instead, Josh began yelling about a pile of wood. Caitlin ran away and hid in some bushes. Josh found her, began punching her, forced her into the home, continued attacking her, and then sicked the dog on her as she tried to hide in the bathroom. Now, look, obviously, I'm thinking the same thing you guys are thinking. What did she do to provoke that? Now, I don't know. I don't know what she could have done.
This is a white dude?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, so here's what bothers me, man, and I talked about this when I was rocking with the Five Starters, is that the public face of this shit is always a black dude. Mm-hmm. It's always Chris Brown or Ray Rice or Stephen A. Smith.
Yep.
As if white dudes don't be beating the shit out of their ladies. I was talking with a white friend of mine who grew up around black people, mm-hmm. and he was killing me because he's like, you know, I tried to readjust. I tried to start hanging out with white people, and I realized it was better for my career. And he's like, you know, the level of sexism I saw among these white dudes, he's like, it was coded, but it was more vile. Like, they just randomly talk to their fiance, like, you know, I'm gonna need some roadhead later.
Yep.
Like, in front of guests and shit. He was like, what the fuck? Like, you know, these motherfuckers be beating the shit out of their ladies and disrespecting them, but you always got some ignorant black dude as the face of spousal abuse. And that shit frustrates me.
That was this weirdest shit about the Tony Dungy and Stephen A. Smith. I know they're not the only broadcasters who feel the way they feel, mm-hmm. but they was the only niggas dumb enough to say it. And mm-hmm. I was like, fuck, man, like, black, we gotta get better at this shit. I actually don't care if you believe that shit and keep it to yourself. Cause that's what all the fucking white broadcasters did. You know what I mean? All these coaches that use Jesus to recruit these kids and all this shit. I guarantee you it's a lot of white coaches that be like, yeah, I don't want no fucking gay dudes on my team, man. Come on. But then when they get that mic, they be like, well, you know, if he can make the team, it's just about effort and it's a meritocracy. Everyone out here is just playing for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We're always the only ones to be like, however, if you do need to put your hands on a woman, like, come on, man, don't.
Because they be gassing them up. You know they do. They be like, hey, man, fuck it, do that interview. Just speak from your heart. Just speak from your heart, Tony.
Yeah, what I wanted to see the pre-show meeting Friday. Wait, no, Thursday for First Take when they tried to wonder if they were going to talk about that Greg Oden article. I guarantee, you know, Stephen A was like, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that another time. It don't seem that important to me. He also left her a text message. You're fucking dead. And if you even try to bring in my kids into it, the worse it will be for you. And if you try and make a scene, spelled wrong, I'll choke you unconscious and smash your throat. And if you get, worse and run around after, I'm going to let Buddy have at you. And I'll walk out of the room. So damn, the dog's name was Buddy.
Ray Rice actually not looking like a bad guy right now.
I know.
Like, at least he tried to help his woman up and get her to the hotel room. He sound like after she's down, he wants to choke the shit out of her.
She must have said something back because then he said, don't. I think he meant don't curse, but he put don't cure. So, don't cure, you whore. That's
rhyming. He about to recite Buddy. My buddy took them all to get into a circle.
Oh man. Don't cure sick, you whore. That's all you think a bore. You're a fucking scumbag piece of shit who I'm going to enjoy choking to death. And he says, you better not be bluffing about cops because I don't joke. You're dead when I see you. Literally, I don't care. I'm going to beat you and throw you to Buddy. You're dead. I'm mad that dog's name is Buddy.
I will say this, though. If I'm the cop, this is the one time. Go ahead. Go to that situation with guns drawn after seeing that text. Because I feel like he would try to do some UFC move on me. And then in the locker room with the other cops, they're going to keep replaying the video when I got knocked out by this dude. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Go with your taser or gun drawn.
I don't trust no nigga who's choking out a dog who's trained to attack.
I need him to handcuff himself. I'm just going to throw the handcuffs in the room. Go ahead, handcuff yourself. Put them on.
Why did he, the theater keeps fucking with me, man. Why did he add the extra step of choking out the dog, man? I don't get where the logic is in the, like, what did the dog do? If it attacked her like you wanted.
Fellas, any y'all.
That nigga's just crazy. That's like that Kevin Mitchell story where Dwight Gooden said he was chilling with him. He started beating his lady up. And Dwight was like, yo, nigga, chill the fuck out. So Kevin Mitchell cut the cat's head off or some shit in front of him just to let him know, like.
Damn.
Nigga, you thinking about snitching?
He's like, oh,
no. Hey, man, any of y'all that's out here abusing y'all women, write in the show and explain what the dog choking
is. Please, if you abuse your woman, please write the blackouts@gmail.com so we can read it on the store, on the show, and see why the fuck do y'all do that shit? Because that's crazy.
What did your wife?
Here's speaking of abusing your woman, Ray Rice played last night. And here's his interview with Sal Palantonio.
Oh, Jesus.
What did your wife say to you in final words of encouragement before you took the field?
I'll play that question again in case you guys didn't hear it. Sal Palantonio, everybody.
What did your wife say to you in final words of encouragement before you took the field?
Oh, she always wishes me luck, and she always just says, go out there and do your job, man. And that's one thing on the football field is that, you know, it is my job, but this is the way I get to take care of my family and everything that we've been through, you know, it's just something you can't take for granted. So it was a blessing to be out here and get up the field healthy, but at the same time, it was a great day at work.
Dog, what? Why did you ask that? This is how I take care of my family. No, we know how you take care of your family, Ray.
He needs somebody else on his team that stands beside him. So anytime he gets to rambling and talking too long, they just slap him in the back of his head and tell him to shut the fuck up.
Dude, that's a setup question if I've ever heard one, though. Like, they don't ask every player that shit.
They don't ask anybody that. Yeah. So what is your girlfriend? What is your woman? What is your wife think? What does your mother tell you to do today before today's game?
What did your wife say before the game? Well, normally she's bleeding from the mouth, so she don't say much.
She can't talk with my dick in her mouth.
Yeah. Normally she says, Marquise Pouncey got arrested. He's suspected
to be shocking.
Yeah. The Pouncey's some thugs, dog.
Ladies, again, ladies, we apologize for the state of America.
Well, he didn't hit a woman, I don't think. Okay, he didn't hit a woman, but you'll see what happened. But remember when these niggas was walking around with the free Aaron Hernandez?
Of course.
Like, that's when I was like, yo, these niggas a little different, yo. That's not normal behavior. A nigga gets locked up for murder.
No disrespect to the Pouncey, though.
You walk around like, fuck it.
No disrespect to the Pouncey. That's Rod. That's Rod calling y'all.
Personal injury attorney Marwin Porter said police have indicated that Pouncey, a center for the Pittsburgh Steelers, will be charged with a misdemeanor battery. Dolphins lineman Mike Pouncey, who was with his twin brother at Cameo Nightclub, the morning of July 12th, will apparently not be charged in the incident. Well, word up. The incident took place at a birthday party for the twins. The victim accused the Pounceys of inciting a fight in part due to one of the victim's sexual orientation.
Nah, Jesus.
Yo, this our boy.
Yeah, this. Yeah,
I knew he was gay, dog. The dude that was crying.
Yeah, we called it.
Yo, we called it.
They like them dragging me. They like drag me. I just remember I kept getting in my head, like in my face. I'm not even big. It did not take four of them to do that. So they dragged me to the back and told me to leave, or I was gonna go to jail.
Yep, that's him, dog. I knew this dude was gay.
I guess it's just. Like, it was like four of them, and it was hitting me so hard, and I couldn't do nothing.
I don't even know what's going on right now.
It was one dude, but it seemed like it's only one dude.
Yeah, dude. What happened was the dude who got beat up went home and posted videos on Instagram of him of him crying to the camera, describing what happened. And it's just him being like, it was just four of them, and they were just hitting me so hard, and I was just crying, and they did not even need to do that. I'm not even a big dude. And we saw this last week, and we didn't know exactly what happened, but I was like, hey, man, this dude seemed a little gay or something, and turns out it might be a hate crime. Fucking with the Pouncey's, dog.
These dudes, football players are a different animal, man. They really are.
They really are. Sadly, David Wilson is done. So he had to retire for his whole career. He had like a burner, they called it, in his neck. Yeah, I don't even know what that means.
That's code for he got hit hard as hell.
Well, in practice, I mean, I don't even think it's contact in practice right now. And he got a burner in his neck and had to leave. And then the next day he did like a press conference. And he's done forever. He can't play football anymore.
Come on, man. When they say no contact,
yeah,
that means you're not supposed to lower your head down and tackle, but they still get hit.
I hear you. I'm not, yeah, I'm just saying he's done. It's sad.
Wait, so what's next?
For Wilson?
Back to college.
Yeah, his career is over.
Nah, dog, I don't think you heard me. I said, what's next, nigga?
Oh, the next article?
No. I'm talking about NECKS, dog. Yes, I did.
Oh, man. That's messed up, dog. I didn't think you had the backbone to pull off that joke, man. That's what happens when you work with people with no spine. David Wilson is done at 23 years old. He got diagnosed with diffuse cervical stenosis and a congenital narrowing of the entire spinal column, and a condition that would forever leave him at risk on the football field.
He was just tired of getting naked in the locker room
being a distraction.
Yep.
You know, the biggest part of this is, that's crazy. This now means Peyton Hillis is the number two running back for the New York Giants. So, good luck.
Good luck with that 70%, Eli.
Good luck with that shit, guys. Don't know if Eli's going to be getting that new contract. Meta World Peace changed his name again. Mm-hmm. He went to go play in China. And he's playing, so he's playing for a Chinese team. He changed his name to, he said, guys, my Chinese name is not Panda Friend. It's the Panda's Friend. So they call him Panda Friend, but his name is the Panda's Friend.
Yo, now why did Phil get him a job in New York?
What do you mean?
Because Phil like all his old players, all the older ones, he want them back home in New York. Why didn't Phil get him a
nigga,
job?
Nigga, what fucking job would you give Ron Artest? If you had to hire him to do something. I wouldn't let him like clean the studio, dude.
Security?
Nah, fuck that.
Nope. That's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Yeah, even his Key and Peele skits don't make sense. I think
I love those skits.
I think he just be on the set and they just be like, yo, just run the shit because the nigga is going to flip. But yeah, the Panda's Friend. That's his name, Dom.
You'll always be Ron Artest to me.
Yeah.
Or a little his, crazy.
His names keep sounding like future Little B anthems, B.
Jerry Jones got caught out there with some hoes.
These hoes ain't loyal.
There was some pictures of him with some white girls, and they all up on TMZ. One of them, he had their head by his dick. The other one, he was grabbing her titties.
Is he married?
Probably. I mean, I would assume so. He's Jerry Jones. The women have now gotten lawyers. They're strippers in Texas. They claim to remember very little about the night they partied with Jerry some 5 years ago. Damn. Because a lot of alcohol was involved. The photos were tweeted out earlier this week by someone claiming that he's held them to protect Jerry Jones from an extortion plot. Lindsay and Jordan say they are unaware of any such plot and claim the pics were serendipitously taken by a female friend. Although they appear to be posing, both women claim they and Jones had no idea the pics were being taken. Oh, get the fuck out of here. You can look at these pictures and tell they knew the camera was on.
They're looking straight into the damn camera.
Yeah. Your head, the one with the head by the dick is looking directly into the camera like cheese.
Both on. Jerry does look inebriated, though.
Yeah. Yeah, Jerry looked faded, but, I mean, that could be the plastic surgery.
Cocaine Cowboys?
Yeah.
They're going to blame it on the alcohol. That's that cocaine.
This is why them niggas never win shit.
I bet you it was another owner there. Mm-hmm. Happens to be the owner of Indianapolis.
Oh.
Yeah. I bet you there was a lot of ones in that room.
Yeah, he probably was up in there too with a pound of coke.
Yep.
Nigga carry pounds and shit.
Like it was an owner's meeting. Like that's what...
He's like, can I get in on this, Jerry?
That's probably where he was headed to again this past offseason. But, you know, cops intervened.
Yeah, well, I just think if they wait till December, it'll probably go away, like everything with the Cowboys. Jameis Winston, FSU chipped in for some insurance on Jameis Winston. $10 million insurance policy. Apparently, that's legal and not a special benefit given only to athletes.
Is there any more NCAA in football? Are they through? They're through now then, right?
It feels like it because they did also do a new ruling where the Power Five conferences have legislative autonomy to make up their own rules. So yeah. they don't have to go by the NCAA rules. So.
Yeah, there's no more NCAA in football. Maybe basketball still. Maybe they're still... until the other lawsuit with player likenesses and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're done and right now in football. These boys doing what they want. Because Jameson didn't even get in trouble for the crab legs, like suspended anything like that, did he?
From the baseball team, but who gives a fuck about baseball? It was like two games for the baseball, nothing to do with football.
Because I'm sure he's on the football scholarship, which is why it should have been football suspension related. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, whatever. However they work it out. Get it how you live, Jameson.
So, let's see. The Spurs added a woman to their coaching staff as an assistant coach.
Good for Pop.
Yep.
Good for them. That's why they stay
winning. I hope she can provoke the players to reach their high potential.
Yeah, I like how everybody's like saying, well, this doesn't mean anything yet because until a woman can be a head coach, it doesn't mean. I'm like, come on, dog. This is still a step, right? You got to be something first.
Yep.
And knowing Pop, man, he'll fuck around, take a game off, and let her coach.
Yep.
He that kind of nigga, man.
It's the thing is, man, once she won a ring next year with the Spurs, how can you deny her a job as head coach somewhere?
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Like, how can you? Because all the rest of everybody else leaves and get head coaching jobs from the Spurs.
Mike Brown did.
Several jobs.
Several jobs.
And he get coached for
some shit. Some for only a year.
Yep. He still get them checks though, man. How many checks is Mike Brown getting from other teams right now?
Yeah, Mike Brown, yo, the first and 15 in Mike Brown house gotta be the funnest time. Oh, here's my, I didn't even know I've coached the Magic. When did I coach the Magic? Anyway, we got a check. A Lakers check, that was my Knicks check. I'm like, okay, cool.
Hey, look.
Oh, that's both of my Cavs checks.
He be telling his wife, you can't be out spending all this money. You know I'm not working right now. She'd be like, what? I see the deposits.
Yeah, Mike, you got 7 check stubs this week. Okay, now go get another job and get fired. Go do the plan. Mike Brown probably walk into every office when he get fired, happy as shit, held head high. Like, let me guess, you gonna let me go, right? Yeah, it's all right. No, it's cool.
I don't need to clean my office. Yeah. I keep my things in the box.
Yeah, I never brought nothing in. So you ain't, I don't need nobody getting nothing from my desk because only shit there is y'all's.
Well, I did have my lunch.
Yeah, y'all can keep that. Lunch is on y'all, the way I see it.
He's like a gold digger.
He's amazing. That dude got the best hustle in the NBA.
I said gold digger. But he ain't no broke nigga.
He be turning down jobs based on how much the owner has. He be like, nah, I can't coach for Milwaukee. Y'all ain't really.
How much is this franchise worth again?
Yeah, y'all shit ain't really like that.
Mark, I can't work here.
Trying to see if Mark Cuban hiring though. That nigga got, he's paid.
Yeah, how long you been in ownership business? How long this group?
He wait till after a team have a tough loss and then he email the owner. Hey Mark, just checking to see what you're doing tonight. Some dude named Wojcik, Doug Wojcik, I guess that's how you pronounce it, or Wojcik. He was the coach of the Charleston's men's basketball team, and he got fired for cussing the players out.
Good.
It was allegations of verbal abuse.
I'm okay with that.
The players took a vote, and they agreed that they forgive him, but they will not take him back, and they wish him luck wherever he goes.
And that's how it should have been in an abusive relationship. Mm-hmm. Ladies, you can forgive. Fellas, you can forgive the man that's beating you. And women, you can forgive the woman that's beating you. But don't forget. Don't take them back.
We completely and wholeheartedly concur with the findings of the investigation and the actions that President Glenn McConnell has taken in the matter. The team statement reads, we forgive Coach Wojcik and hope that he and his family can move forward in a positive manner from here. We're looking forward to putting this behind us and getting back to what we are here for in the first place. Get an excellent college education and reach our full potential as athletes and as a team on the basketball court. Wojcik is 50 and has apologized to those he hurt emotionally or offended.
I hope he's going to get a job at Duke.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah.
Coach K loves Coach K that kind of spirit.
He love niggas cussing out kids. That's his shit. That's his jam. Raymond Felton got suspended 4 games for putting that gun in his wife's face. So, I guess if you hit them, that's 2 games. Put the gun in their face, that's 4. I guess that makes sense.
Well, it's a weapon, so it makes it different.
He also has to do 500 hours of community service and a $5,000 fine.
Damn it, man.
Am I the only one that would be more mad about the 500 hours of community
You're
service?
You're not the only one.
Yeah, that's a lot of time, nigga. I mean, if you 40 hours a week at work is work. You know what I'm saying? How long do I get to do my 500 hours of community service, man? That ain't right. I'll try to flee that shit down, bro. Or, like, come up with a project of my own or some shit.
71 weeks. Yeah. If he did 40 hours every week.
Dude, that's crazy. 71 weeks of 40 hours a week community service. That's too much, man. All just because I put a gun in my wife's face? Come on now.
That's more than a year.
It's a little too much.
That's more than a year to do that.
Yeah, like I pulled the trigger. Trying to get these. And his wife was black, too, so he shouldn't even got no time.
Kinda. She was kinda.
Oh, you know what? I forgot.
Kinda.
We did look at her picture. She was classy as shit.
Yep.
She ain't come from this. Yep. He tried for that J.R. Smith hood rat shit on her. She was like, bitch, I'm a ballerina. The fuck is wrong with you?
Hey, JR right now saying, man, don't worry about your community service. When I come to Dallas, we're going to have a good time. You think it's okay if I skip out on the community service? Yeah, man. Fuck, I ain't done a day of community service yet. What they going to do? Arrest you? You Raymond Felton. I mean, I wouldn't do it.
Daniel Snyder. Daniel Snyder defended the Redskins name again. This time on Outside the Lines on ESPN.
I saw part of that, man. I was like, this is not good. Why won't he go away?
What's wrong with him, man?
It's too much TV. It's just like the interview Ray Rice did. We was like, why? Why is he doing another press conference? He, just let it go.
He Jewish too, man. He know he would not take this shit from nobody throwing around no fucking Jewish slurs, man. He would not be cool with this shit, man.
He had he did have a pretty ass white woman on supporting him though.
I saw that too. I was really shocked that he wasn't dating a Native American woman just to add more cover. Be like, look, some of my best friends are Native Americans, and I have sex with one every night, so I can say it.
Man, you know it's coming. I told you the next step is he going to have Native American Day.
Yep. He said, Snyder mentioned William Henry Lone Star Dietz, the team's first coach, whom the Redskins were named after to honor his Native American heritage. Now, of course, what he didn't mention is that his heritage is up for debate, and a lot of people don't think he was posing as Native American when he wasn't.
Well, that's the facts.
He also brought up Walter Blackie Wetzel. Now that is a nickname that I would love to see come back in sports, but we'll never see it. Like, can we just designate like a player to be Blackie?
Reggie Evans.
Reggie Blackie Evans.
It fits him.
I was thinking Drew Holiday. I would take Drew Blackie Holiday.
Chad Johnson for receivers.
Well, he doesn't play anywhere that we would watch.
So you got to give it to what's the Houston Texans?
Who
best receiver?
Oh, Andre Johnson. He's not black. He's not black enough.
Nope. But you got to just give it to him.
Oh, okay.
What about Reggie Jackson for the Thunder?
Oh, Reggie Blackie Jackson. Oh, yo, that's going to stick. Wait till basketball season start, dog. I'm getting that working on Twitter. Reggie Blackie Jackson.
You got to get one of
every
sport,
I can just call him Blackie Jackson too.
Yep.
Like, they putting Blackie in?
Get one of every sport.
Yeah. I guess.
And Emeritus, Professor Emeritus of Blackie, Carl Ferreira.
Now, I guess, obviously, that might be too on the nose, and maybe we should be going the other way with this and naming like the least black motherfucker Blackie.
Oh, like Colin Blackie Kaepernick.
Yeah, it's like, because he got them tats. I'm thinking like Tim Blackie Duncan. Like, it'll take a while for people to put that together that it's about race. They're like, what? Like, why are you calling that? That's his nickname, dog.
He got that back in the islands.
Anyway, man, he said it's just historical truths, and I like them to understand, as I think most do, that the name really means honor and respect. Yo, his problem is that Dan Snyder thinks he can talk his way out of this.
He gonna force me to switch teams.
It's all arrogance at this point. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah, because
right? Like, he doesn't care about the publicity. He just wants to win this fucking argument.
Right. That's it. Because it's not monetary. It's really just, I'm a rich white dude, and I'm always told that I'm right. So why won't everybody just agree with me that I'm right and we can end this?
He go force me to switch teams, man. I used to like him just because he picked players out from a fan perspective. Like, such and such popular right now. He used to be great. Let me pick him on my team. You know, we'll have a team full of used to be good players that you always wanted on your team. Yeah. You know what I mean? But he going to make – you remember a few years ago I had stopped watching football for a while just because of the stupid shit they was doing with Washington. Remember, I started out just not watching the Washington games and it ended up being no football.
Yeah.
He gonna force me to switch teams, man.
Yeah, that shit is bad, dog. Nobody wants to be around it. So, like, you would think he would just stop, but the arrogance is fucking serious, dude. Pistorius' lawyer has announced that the trial will actually be the verdict will be delivered on 9/11. Foreshadowing. I feel like he might be in some trouble, bro.
He killed his, what was it, girlfriend?
Yeah.
While hiding in the bathroom.
And, like, only a judge decides. Like, the jury don't have to decide. Like, this nigga's in trouble, dog. His lawyer says the athlete's anxiety led to the killing.
I thought it was because he thought it was a burglar. Which one is it?
You said anxiety.
You know how sometimes you get so anxious you got to shoot up the bathroom door.
And then let's be honest, Your Honor. He was mad. All the way to justify a killing. The guy was real anxious.
She provoked
him. That should be.
She provoked him. She provoked him. She was in there. He had the shit, and she was in there taking too long. He kept telling her to come out the bathroom in a minute, honey. She provoked him.
I want him, if he wins, if he gets acquitted, I want him to take them prosthetic legs and start dancing while they play Pistorius.
We are. Pistorius. Oh, man.
Dude, that would be so great.
Yeah, dog. He was anxious. He said, you're anxious. You're trained as an athlete. He stands now with his finger on the trigger ready to fire. He said, describing the highly fearful mindset. He says a double amputee Pistorius was in when he killed Steven Kamp by mistake on Valentine's Day last year. I forgot it was on Valentine's Day.
This dude.
This nigga. Damn. He thought she was a dangerous intruder.
Look at this shit as an isolated incident. And this is what I mean. Like, Chris Brown and Stephen A. Smith and these dudes and Ray Rice are the faces of domestic abuse.
Right.
They look at this shit as some kind of trial or something. Like, dude, this thing, he killed his wife on Valentine's Day, dog.
And I remember when there was a journalist, a white woman, who tried to defend it, kind of. They got her out of here so fast. the article we read was like the report of it and the admonishment of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't like, oh, 2 days later she got suspended. It was literally like, yeah, well, you know, I think that, you know, it could have been her fault too. And then by the end of the article was like, and then she was taken off the air. I'm like, yeah, they are a monolith, dog. They do not let that shit fly unless it comes out of our mouth.
Yeah. That dumb bitch.
Right. Yeah. Stupid bitch.
Stupid bimbo.
Standing in the way of those bullets. Fuck is wrong with her?
I want to see somebody posting. I want to see some white people posting. Like, this is why I tell my daughter only to date white black men. Because
right.
I tell them only date black men with both legs. These white men with no legs tripping out here, y'all.
Yeah, I mean, we knew the case had no legs to stand on. But this is even worse. He's coming up short. Kevin Durant withdrew from the U.S. national team like a bitch. Like a bitch. I've been trying to not say that for 48 hours, and every time I read this article, I can't help but think, you little bitch, man. That nigga got hurt. So what? Niggas get hurt every day. The fuck they got to do with you? You going home?
It was a clause. He signed that shit for a third of $1 billion with Under Armour.
Mm-hmm.
There must have been some shit in the fine print. Like, if you break your leg playing basketball in the next month, you don't get none of this shit. He was like, I'm out.
All right, then. This nigga, man. Like, I seen him being kind of shook when they showed the Paul George injury. And they zoomed in on him real good. And I was like, nah. Nah, he not going to quit. And, like, everybody that I play ball, I talk with or play ball or talk ball with, they were like, you think the team players gonna quit because they saw an injury? I was like, niggas get injured all the time. It's just an injury, bro. They'll be all right. Why would you quit? You know, a lot of these niggas are patriotic and they feel like, but man, this nigga quit. Damn, KD.
Yeah, once Kevin Love backed out, he was like, how can I get out of this too? I can't believe he waited so long to quit.
The Kevin Love shit made the most sense because he was trying to get that trade.
Mm.
I was like, he wanted to leave Minnesota so bad. He's like, fuck this shit. Fuck the country. I know I'm the white guy, but I'm the least patriotic right now. I want my fucking money.
Yeah, but they start like next week. Don't they, the game start?
Yeah, dog.
And, like, he quit. Like, come on, man.
Is Coach K still coaching it?
Yep.
So he did this to Coach K, bruh. Wow.
He could have quit last week. The next day was the best time to be like, you know what? After seeing that.
He tried to act like if he wait 2 more days, he won't be no bitch.
Man, it's like every trend, though. Because you remember when it was the shit, niggas were fighting each other just to get an invite. Mm-hmm. Now niggas are trying to find any way possible to get the fuck out of that shit.
Yo, like, I feel...
I don't really want this shit no more.
I feel bad for my niggas with the Wizards, man.
Yep, because they got cut.
Them niggas wanted to play. They was like, nah, we good.
But they saying now they're going to add Rudy Gay.
I would. For real?
I would.
Yeah, that's the latest report on ESPN is they're adding Rudy Gay, which I would feel even worse. I'm like, oh shit, you cut me dead. You wouldn't find a nigga who wasn't even there.
And that's why I wouldn't. I would be like, nope, I'm not going. If you didn't want me originally, don't call me now.
See, I'm so petty. If I had the power as an NBA player to be on the team and I didn't make it, I would go play for another country so fucking fast. And I would get my, I would try to get my boys to come and everything. I'll pay all the expenses, y'all. We playing for Angola this year. Fuck that. We about to
hop on that Dominican Republic team as Juan Wall.
Yep. I got a house down there that I bought.
Hey, I would sell out so fucking hard, dog. I'll be coming up with an accent.
My granddad is actually Angolan and we here, nigga.
Oh man.
Yo, anyway. Is this a distraction though? Adding Gay?
Yeah, I feel like Tony Dungy wouldn't have put him on the team. It's too much.
Yeah, you can't put Gay on anything.
Too much to deal with. But yeah, KD said, I need to take a step back and take some time away.
Now he's throwing shots, right?
Yeah, I need to take a step back, unlike Paul George is able to do right now. I wish he could take a step back. Both mentally and physically in order to prepare for the upcoming NBA season. I will be rooting for USAB and look forward to future opportunities with them.
That sounds like something that that former Chicago Bulls player with the bad knees that's currently on the team, Rose. Sounds like something he would say.
Yeah.
He's still playing. I mean,
Colangelo said that Coach K and I fully support Kevin.
You don't have no choice.
Yeah, I noticed that's not a Coach K quote.
He's the best. He's the second best player in the NBA right now. What they gonna do? Fuck, we cutting you off?
Right. And I also noticed that's not actually Coach K saying that.
Yeah, that's correct.
So I'm willing to bet Coach K was like, man, fuck that nigga.
Yeah, Coach K is in a room cursing to himself.
Yeah.
Mad loud.
Yeah, fuck that motherfucker. All right, man. Last segment. We gotta do it. It's time to talk about, well, we already kinda did talk about him, but it wasn't a news story, but let's play the music. La 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 la. Hey Mamba, hey, what is going on, Kobe Bryant? A lot of Kobe news this week. First of all, the annual rookie survey finally ousted Kobe Bryant as the favorite player of all the rookies. It's Kevin Durant. Kobe Bryant is now officially the second favorite player of all the rookies.
Damn.
Now, what's amazing about this, like, people our age have one relationship with Kobe Bryant, you know, which is kind of some, like, you know, this nigga's kind of a snitch, he's a bitch, I don't like him, blah, blah, blah. And then everybody younger than us, this is their favorite player growing up.
Yep.
It's like a weird disconnect because most of the niggas in the NBA are younger than us. So they don't have no problem with Kobe. It's us. like it's our generation that's like, fuck this nigga. And then young niggas is like, what about him? He's great. Like, yep. Well, he was snitching and shit. I don't care. Like, so yeah, Kobe got ousted by that bitch ass quitter Kevin Durant. Well, good for him.
Yep. And I wonder how many times they was allowed to submit votes. Like, it's like an all-star game where you just keep sending vote after vote after vote.
Mm-hmm. It's just NBA rookies, so it can only be a certain amount, right? 60 people or something at the most?
I don't know. It's not LeBron because he don't call them back.
Yeah, that's definitely, he won't be winning. During the White House press briefing Friday, Press Secretary John Ernest defended President Obama for suggesting the Islamic State was simply a JV that was trying to act like Kobe Bryant. Kobe, hold up.
I don't get that.
Did my man, President Obama, make a basketball analogy for international political relations before he sent in drones? What the fuck? That's the blackest shit that has ever happened in the White House.
I think that dude said it, not Obama though.
Oh,
not,
hold
not
on.
The president.
Nah, it's, all right, let me read. There is no question that the Lakers uniforms that were worn, to draw out that analogy a little bit, they were worn by Al-Qaeda leadership in Afghanistan and have been decimated and defeated in Afghanistan, he said, praising Obama's leadership in the country. Ernest defensively noted that many regional terrorist organizations were not a threat, but hinted Obama now recognized a threat that groups like Islamic State pose to the United States. There are, of course, a couple of other organizations that do pose a more substantial threat to the United States and our interests, he explained. In January, Obama used a Kobe Bryant analogy to suggest that ISIS was not a significant threat in an interview with the New Yorker.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's calling them JV team.
He said, them niggas wasn't with us shooting at the Jew. The analogy, he's like, them niggas is Smush Parker. The analogy we use around here sometimes, and I think it is accurate, is if a JV team put on Lakers uniforms, that doesn't make them Kobe Bryant, Obama said in an interview with David Remnick.
Okay.
I think that there is a distinction between the capacity and reach of Bin Laden and a network that is actively planning major terrorist plots against the homeland versus jihadists who are engaged in various local power struggles and disputes, often sectarian. Yo, man.
So we know he likes Kobe. He a Kobe fan.
Yo, man. Obama my nigga forever for this.
Obama gonna be like, man, we trying to take out the leader for the emotional effect. Kind of like when Latrell Sprewell got traded from the Knicks. It just changed the city dynamic.
Like, he could do every press conference like this, and I would, if he was like, well, you know, the problem is, Israel is a lot like Dwayne Wade. And, Palestine is Kyrie Irving. Like, I would be like all into that shit. Like, is that what it is? Okay, now I can explain this when I talked about it. Anyway, man.
But he gave a shout out to Kobe. He could have said Jordan.
Right. He said Kobe.
But he said Kobe, man.
He did that on purpose. You know, he's from Chicago.
Right.
You know what that is. How many community organizing events did he host and Michael Jordan's like, nah.
Yep.
Is it going to be some niggas there?
But I'm sure Kobe, he's had talks with Kobe.
Is the dress code mom jeans? Because if so, I'm in. Yo, man, make sure y'all follow my man Trill on Twitter. He's at Trill Harmonic. And like I said, go and support the brother's writing. It was themedium.com/the
Hyphen, yeah. Cauldron, like a witch's cauldron. Yep.
And I'll have it in the show notes
under TD Williams.
Yep. Make sure y'all support the man. We did talk about the Levitard suspension. I saw someone ask about that in the chat, and the other one said, did you ever see the Dennis Scott meltdown story?
Of course. The videos where he's
hold on.
Those videos are some of the greatest things in the history of sports.
Hold on, I haven't seen this. And
I'll get out of here.
They put a link. I'll play
it. Oh, you gotta watch it right now. That's how good it is.
All right, hold on. Let me.
What is this, 97?
Ready to die. Wait till you see that shit.
Let me put this shit in the chat too, so people can see it in there.
I want this right after he had that court decision to pay that paternity. That child support.
The $5,000 a month.
No, he's looking at a group of 12-year-old kids as a basketball camp. He's like, don't want to ask me about that. Ask me about the pain I feel inside.
Hazleton in our top story. Puzzling, that's one of the words that's being used to describe events that occurred today at the Dennis Scott 3D basketball camp. The camp was being held at Parkview High School in Sterling. The week-long program is designed to help children learn basketball skills from an NBA player. It's also designed to teach students about being good sports, leading a clean life, striving for goals, and being the best they can be.
Not wearing condoms.
Dennis Scott, who grew up in Loudoun and now plays for the NBA's Orlando Magic, was talking with the children on this, the final day of the camp. During that talk...
By the way, you know this is set up because the way she's talking about it is so detailed. Whatever happens after this is about to be fucked up. You know what I mean? Like, she's like, she giving every, the little kids were out there innocently playing.
This shit is so real.
They come to learn fundamentals and good Samaritanship.
Yeah, she broke down this other stuff besides basketball.
Yeah, like anybody else, hey, we got a clip from the camp. Let's go to it. She set this up. This is going to be bad.
Those attending became bewildered when Scott began discussing his own life. Scott told the kids he no longer wanted to be referred to as 3D and then blasted the media for criticizing him and for their accusations that he's using drugs, a charge he denies. He told the children not to ask him for his autograph, but rather to ask him about the rage that exists inside him. He began playing rap music that contained explicit lyrics.
You see, it's a car in the background.
Hold up. Hold up. Stop. He said, don't ask me about the game. Ask me about the rage that is building up inside of me. And then they say he started playing rap music with cuss words in the background.
Dog, at one point you hear previously on Ready to Die. And that shit is a killer.
But you can see the Jeep too.
He got all the doors.
And you see him bopping around, dancing with the little kids looking like, what the fuck? Yo, there's mad different reports of this too. You catch little different things on each one. They got different clips. It's too much. It's phenomenal.
This is what they need to play.
That contained explicit lyrics. Scott compared some of those lyrics to the songs of his own life. Scott then walked around.
The kids don't even know the dance.
About his own life.
Talking about live my life where I want to. For all y'all out there in America, if you scared, say you scared. And I ain't scared. I'm doing it myself. Because if I don't make it, I can't blame nobody but myself. So I'm putting on my own concert for this camp.
Was he gonna smack that kid? Was he gonna smack that kid in a minute and 30 seconds?
It looked like it, man.
Dude, he flexed on that kid. And that kid was with his mama.
Yeah, son, it's real.
Dog.
He was hot. He said if Barney can do it.
He said, if somebody can do it, why can't I?
Yeah. I think he said Barney, dog.
Why? He high, man. He's seeing Barney out there. He's seeing Barney. He high.
He think Barney is talking to him. He said, Barney can do it. Hey, Barney, why can't I do it?
Scott then left in his truck saying he was going to meet a friend, leaving a confused group of students and camp organizers behind. After he left, members of Loudoun Parks and Recreation, who co-sponsored the event, gathered the kids in the school's gym. At this point, we were asked to turn our cameras off and leave the premises. Parents of those attending the camp were called shortly afterwards and told to come pick up their children. One parent has told Channel 3 that she's been informed by Parks and Recreation officials that the camp had been canceled and they would soon be getting a letter and a refund. Attempts to reach officials from Parks and Rec were unsuccessful.
Holy shit.
He tried to fuck it up for all NBA players in the future getting that money. Virginia.
But instead of giving the campers a pep talk and how to prepare yourself for the game of basketball, Scott went into a strange monologue about his own life.
So if I don't get what I think I deserve in my heart, I am going to literally retire from basketball and run this camp every day. I don't want to ask for autographs. So what I'm telling y'all is, if I get back in time, ask me to explain the rage that's inside of me. Don't call me 3D no more.
Previously, you are ready to die.
Yo,
The Orlando Magic are now concerned about Scott's behavior. GM John Gabriel spoke on the incident today and says the team wants more information.
I was not there. I'm getting a lot of it secondhand. And I'm interested in more moving forward. And at the time, trying to find out what was wrong with my player. Is there anything that we can do here in a proactive role to find out either how we can help or get to the bottom of the situation?
There it is. Orlando Magic talking about helping out Dennis Scott.
How help them kids, man. Somebody help the person that asked them to come. They're getting fired.
The offensive, and boy, has he been offensive. Scott pulled his sport utility vehicle up to what was supposed to be a youth basketball camp for children as young as six in Virginia on Friday with obscenity-packed lyrics blaring from the speakers. He then launched into this tirade, which you're about to see. Scott is going into the final year of his contract with the Orlando Magic.
So if I don't get what I think I deserve in my heart, I am going to literally retire from basketball and run this camp every day. There's too many camps in America where kids, or should I say, actually say, I'm going to be there from 9 to 5 every day. How are the newspapers going to tell me how to live my life? My father raised me, not the media. Talking about live my life where I want to. For all y'all out there in America, if you're scared, say you're scared. And I ain't scared.
The kids' camp was canceled and refunds were issued. Scott averaged 12.5 points per game for the Magic last season, hitting less than 40% from the floor.
Some discussion with Dennis about exactly what his motive was at the time. And those discussions will remain internal. I'm interested in more moving forward and at the time trying to find out what was wrong with my player. Is there anything that we can do here in a proactive role to find out either how we can help or get to the bottom of the situation?
Scott is due to make $3 million in the coming season. Orlando finished third in the Atlantic Division in 1996-97, 16 games behind first place Miami. Bill?
Shit. I had never seen that before. That's the greatest thing ever.
That ready to die part just kills me every time.
Dude, that shit and then the Outcast in the background on that one part.
So what said, you dickhead?
And he was not re-signed by the Magic after that. He played for the Dallas Mavericks the following year.
Dude, there's a part where he's bobbing to the beat while talking about, ask me about my rage I'm feeling inside.
When that little girl dancing with
yeah,
him?
The little kids start dancing because they like, are we supposed to be dancing?
Dog, I didn't even watch a second of that video just now. I know it by heart.
Oh, man.
I know it by heart.
That, who put that in the chat? Mr. Bond, yo, Mr. Bond, thank you, dog. That's the greatest shit I ever seen in my life, dog. Oh my God.
Yeah, I've never seen that before.
So I said, you dickhead.
Yo, and he's playing, you know what else he played if you just caught one clip of the previously already to die. That means he had the whole shit playing.
He had that.
That means he had his disc changer in there. He went from out, he talked from Outkast to fucking, and not like either, it was either a disc changer or a mixtape. Cause he talked from Outkast to Ready to Die, nigga.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his homeboys had to be there with him. Somebody in his entourage had to be there.
His coke dealer? This nigga had on a sweater in 95 degree heat.
With them little ass shades, right?
Yeah, that's cokehead behavior.
Hey, man, that person that, I'm telling you, they got fired. The person that arranged for Dennis Scott to be there, they got fired.
Yeah, they closed the camp, man.
Like that, but I'm talking about for Park and Rec, like that person.
I think he was threatening to hold the kids hostage with that shit low key. He's like, I'm going to do this shit every day.
From 9 to 5, this is my new job.
I don't get what I want.
Oh.
What you got was a trip to the Dallas Mavericks.
Well, speaking of getting up, getting out and getting something, we got to get up and get out of here, man. Make sure you check out my man Trill, like I said. We appreciate you coming on, man.
I don't recall ever coming on at all. I'm just a disappointment to y'all. Yo, it was a pleasure as always, man. I love rocking with both of y'all.
Yeah,
I laughed
great,
way too much, and for that to be the ending was just the cherry on top of the sundae, man.
No doubt. Hey, shout out to him kind of tanking them Outkast albums because he used the lyrics from Y'all Scared, which isn't even on that album. If you scared, say you scared. I ain't scared. Okay, nigga. You high as shit. We'll be back next week with more tomfoolery, man. Everybody, appreciate y'all. Mr. Bond, especially appreciate you for that link. And we'll talk to y'all next week. Peace.